Look, everybody is debating this as, are you for the mullahs or are you for regime change? You have to look at all of this in the history of it, and the neocons in 9/11 saying they were going to regime change seven countries and use 9/11 as the pretext.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me in. He said, sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second. I said, well, you're too busy. He said, no. He says, we've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq. This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, we're going to war with Iraq. Why? He said, I don't know. He reached over on his desk. He picked up a piece of paper. He said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran. I said, is it classified? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, don't show it to me. Were we to get out early, we'd be intensifying the threat against us of a super powerful Sunni extremist group, which was now legitimated by overt Saudi funding in an effort to hang on to a toehold inside Iraq and block Iranian expansionism.
And it wasn't just Wesley Clark releasing classified info. They said the Project for New American Century a year before 9/11 that they needed a big attack to be able to do this. And so I don't like the mullahs. I don't like their dictatorship, but this is not America first. So I've got a lot of the folks out there that don't like Iran because they blew up the Marine base and all the rest of it and attacked Israel. I don't like the Iranian leadership either. Neither does their population. They're very unpopular. Even Eric Prince, he's looked at the different ethnic and religious groups there. There's a very good chance this is going to be a civil war. We can be sucked into a new Vietnam. And that's if we're successful getting rid of the mullahs. So it's a real roll of the dice. But no one can deny that this is an extremely bold move by Trump. And Trump said, if they're going to get a nuke, I'm going to go in and stop them. Now, here's the big story. And I told you this at least 15 years ago, and then I talked to other Pentagon sources, and they said, yeah, that's true, and you shouldn't know that. But they have cars, vans, taxi cabs, you name it, that the West has in Iran that drive around that have sensors on them that scoop up the air, and then they send it back and have it tested. And 15, 16 years ago, they were driving around the enrichment centers, so they stick them out in the middle of nowhere trying to keep away from that, but they can also follow vehicles that are transporting it, and they picked up heavily enriched uranium from the centrifuges. So when you hear Israel saying for 20 years, they're 2 weeks from a nuke, that's because they have been. Now, just because that's true doesn't mean Israel has a right to strike them. We're going to attack North Korea because they have nukes? I want to be clear. Iran is trying to get a weapons program. They refuse the peaceful program and the free fuel to build power reactors. They don't need reactors. They are full of oil and gas. So it is true that they've been pursuing a nuclear program. I don't believe you have a right to attack them just because of that. Can Iran attack Israel because they've got nukes? Now, here's the headline, and this is officially on the Iranian news channels. Iran needs only 1 week to conduct a nuclear test, says member of Iranian Security Committee, their Security Council, and a high-level member of parliament. There's a bunch of statements by the council. We can have a bomb in 1 hour. We can have a bomb in 1 day. We can have a nuclear test within 1 week. And Iran could test a nuke and show everybody. And, we've had Witkoff saying this earlier in the week. And the bigger deal is they have the delivery systems now with their medium-range ballistic missiles. Now, when I state those facts, people go, oh, my God, you agree with Israeli propaganda. Not everything Israel says is a lie. Now Iran says they're 1 week away from being able to test one. And I predict it because that's the obvious move to say, hey, we got nukes. Okay, we got nukes. Because they look at North Korea and others that have nukes that don't get attacked. So this is a big deal. have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I shout out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Over the past 36 hours, the United States and its partners have launched Operation Epic Fury, one of the largest, most complex, most overwhelming military offensives the world has ever seen. Nobody's seen anything like it. We have hit hundreds of targets in Iran, including Revolutionary Guard facilities, Iranian air defense systems. Just now, it was announced that we knocked out 9 ships plus their naval building, all in a matter of literally minutes. Iran's formerly supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is dead. This wretched and vile man had the blood of hundreds and even thousands of Americans on his hands and was responsible for the slaughter of countless thousands of innocent people all across many countries. Earlier today, CENTCOM shared the news that 3 U.S. military service members have been killed in action. As one nation, we grieve for the true American patriots who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, even as we continue the righteous mission for which they gave their lives. We pray for the full recovery of the wounded and send our immense love and eternal gratitude to the families of the fallen. And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. Likely be more, but we'll do everything possible where that won't be the case. But America will avenge their deaths and deliver the most punishing blow to the terrorists who have waged war against basically civilization. They have waged war against civilization itself.
Now, trickling up, sadly, the 4th U.S. service member has officially been killed. That announcement coming again from Central Command just moments ago. Folks, welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello, and we are continuously following what's unraveling in Iran right now. As many of you guys saw throughout the weekend, the United States with Israel did decide to launch an attack on Iran. We don't know specifically why it was so urgent, but what's unraveled since then has been absolute devastation, not only in Iran, but for Americans who have sat back and watched now 4 U.S. service members get killed in all of this. Pete Hegseth, speaking at the Pentagon moments ago, will play a clip for you in just a second, but he detailed specifically how those service members were killed. Apparently, they were hit while working from a center, a tactical center. Now, the specific details as to where that center was is currently unknown. Those 4 service members have not yet been named. Again, the 4th just officially being announced moments before going to air. So we're continuing to follow that as it develops. But again, devastating news. An unspecific number of U.S. service members also injured in all of this. Yet the Pentagon has not given us that information either. Now, moments ago, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, spoke at the Pentagon and explained why it was so urgent for the United States to launch these attacks with Israel over the weekend. Take a listen to clips two.
Iran's stubborn and self-evident nuclear pursuits, their targeting of global shipping lanes, and their swelling arsenal of ballistic missiles and killer drones were no longer tolerable risks. Iran was building powerful missiles and drones to create a conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambitions. Let me say that again. A conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambitions. Our bases, our people, our allies, all in their crosshairs. Iran had a conventional gun to our head as they tried to lie their way to a nuclear bomb. It all
being made by the Secretary of War just moments ago again at the Pentagon. Now, obviously, we're going to be diving into this throughout today's show, going over the Iranian threat, obviously, overseas, but mainly here in the United States, folks. I have been extensively reporting, and I did so over the weekend as well with Alex Jones, about the home threat, the homeland threat that we currently have underway right now. We have a massive, massive issue that we'll be diving into because I've just received the numbers from DHS over the weekends as to how many of these sleeper cells possibly have been deported. And the number is extremely alarming. Now, again, when Pete Hegseth was holding his press conference, he was asked about those sleeper cells by a reporter from the Daily Wire. And in clip 11, he details specifically what that threat might look like. Take a listen.
Of course, we're paying attention to any potentialities there. This is a former regime, that seeks to export that ideology and try to sow terror. We're ready for that. We've seen these types of folks before, and the American people can rest assured that we're vigilant on that.
All right, as you heard him there say, he claims the United States is prepared for that. We're going to go into detail because, folks, I don't think we're prepared for that. Right now, DHS is currently in a partial shutdown because we don't have the funding to keep it open. Why? Well, because Republicans were a bunch of cowards and they decided to pass together a budget that didn't actually fully fund Homeland Security. Something you probably consider before striking Iran first. We'll also dive into the details regarding the terror attack that was unleashed on a group of young people who were just enjoying a Saturday night at an Austin bar. That terror attack obviously taking place on Saturday, late in the middle of the night. And we're learning more about the terrorists that decided to unleash that unprecedented amount of violence on those individuals, again, who were doing nothing. I mean, they were literally just sitting in a bar enjoying their Saturday night when this Islamic terrorist decided to walk into that bar and open fire. Now, two Americans are dead and several other, over a dozen, are actually injured. And this is absolutely devastating news. But let's kind of sift through how we got here in the first place. Many of you saw over the weekends, CentralCom, now that's the Central Command Center, they have been the ones directing all of this. And if you're someone who's looking to follow the most up-to-date information, I'd highly recommend you follow them on X because that's where all the latest information is going to be coming from. Sadly, the Pentagon being very, very silent over the weekend and only putting out certain information from that CentCom Twitter account. Now, they showed video footages of all of the ballistic hits that were being carried out throughout Iran. And as many of you guys know, it killed their supreme leader. But then it gets even worse for the United States, right? We'll go through that in a second. I guess we can pivot to this. The IDF is saying that all senior terrorist leaders in Iran have officially been eliminated. They put up this official list as to how many of them have been killed. Take a look at their faces. These are the individuals who have officially been killed, and we're hearing it's over 40-plus top senior officials in the Iranian military. Now, again, folks, I want to keep highlighting this point. The White House not really putting out much in the way of information, even President Trump yesterday being asked, he made his way back to Washington, D.C., about what took place in Iran, and again, he did not give comment. Now, we were learning about the details in regards to all of this and how everything was unraveling. We learned also about several U.S. military aircrafts that crashed in Kuwait earlier this morning. Now, we're learning more details in all of this. And according, again, to CentralCom, I should say, they're claiming that this was possibly friendly fire. Now, thankfully, the service members who were inside of those aircrafts were able to safely eject themselves and have not been harmed in any of this. They have since apparently made their way over to local hospitals, and they are currently receiving medical treatment. That's according to several reports. But again, folks, this is an absolutely horrifying moment. Now, again, those are the F-15 fighter jets that you're seeing right now coming down. And again, our own Pentagon saying that this was actually friendly fire. So keep that in mind. Now, this happened around 11:03 p.m. Eastern time. That's according to the Kuwait Army as well. Now, the statement that they put out in regards to all of this clearly details that these service members were located and they were immediately transported to local hospitals for a health status update. We'll keep you in the loop on that as well, because folks, obviously, this is developing, and it's absolutely horrifying to see. But thank God those service members, so far we've seen images of three of them, that they are safe and they are receiving help inside of hospitals right now in Kuwait. Now, again, we're hearing this was all friendly fire. Keep that in mind. All right, let's keep moving on. There's so much happening right now that we need to keep diving into in regards to all of this. Let's go to a report that came out earlier today as well. In clip three, we're going to listen to a Fox report, which outlines how Iranian ballistic missiles were able to make their way into Israel. Take a listen.
I do have some new information for you that I can give you just now in between our last report. And since we spoke, I received a new statement from a senior Israeli official about the Hezbollah strikes that we talked about earlier and the ongoing operation against Hezbollah. All of this is developing very quickly as the Israelis are still taking incoming Iranian ballistic missile fire, but they are now also focused on Iran's largest proxy, Hezbollah. This senior official telling Fox News exclusively that overnight Hezbollah launched barrages at Israel in an attempt by Iran's proxy. And you hear those explosions in the distance, an indication that these missiles from Iran are being intercepted as we speak. But again, the senior official telling Fox News that this attempt overnight by Hezbollah was trying to help come to Iran's defense and open another front in this war. The official goes on to say, this is a situation that Israel and the U.S. had been preparing for. The targets were ready. Within a matter of minutes, Israeli planes were in the skies, eliminating over 30 Hezbollah terrorists in under 3 hours. Again, these words coming from a senior Israeli official.
As you heard there, folks, that's extremely alarming. But what's more alarming, though, is what happened in the UAE. You may have seen this over the weekend as well, and it's still ongoing. But it looks like several buildings throughout the region were actually struck by Iran. And again, folks, this is something that's extremely alarming. I don't think they were even prepared for this. The UAE has officially cut, though, their diplomatic ties with Iran, who obviously has launched several missiles and drones their way. And as of right now, it slightly does look like there actually might be retaliation in regards to all of this. There have been several reports that the UAE are sending over jets right now, potentially to Iran, to possibly lead retaliation strikes to what unfolded over the weekend. And we've got our eye to that, so we'll keep you in the loop if anything does happen. But so much has happened over the last few hours. It feels like a game of catch up right now. So I'm trying to break this all down for you. Even the Saudis are now involved in all of this, because apparently their oil refineries were also struck by Iranians. That's according to several reports. Now, the Saudis have shut down its 550,000 barrels per day refinery facility. That's according to the latest news that was shut down earlier today again. And it looks like there was possibly two drones targeting the facility where they intercepted by the Saudi defense system as well. So again, the Saudis are also reeling from all of this. And it's not just that. Obviously, Qatar is also dealing with their own issues as well. After both Israel and the United States decided to launch these attacks, the strikes apparently did potentially strike in Qatar again. So we're following that angle, as well as many others. And you may have seen this also over the weekend as well. Yesterday, late evening, armed rioters tried to overrun the U.S. consulate in Pakistan as well. Take a look at this video. This video, in fact, does show what so many are claiming didn't actually happen. Now, we know it happened, of course, because, well, we've got the footage. Many were trying to say, oh, no, they're not armed. Look at that. That's a gun, folks. That's a gun that you see in that man's hand. And he's obviously opening fire and trying to shoot. Now, probably not the smartest thing to do when your fellow allies are trying to run past you to shoot in their direction. But again, we're dealing with the individuals who have been inbred so deeply that they are probably one of the lowest IQ human beings on the face of this earth. So no surprise there. Now, when it comes to drones, folks, I want you to listen to this, because this information came down yesterday from the Central Command Center. They posted this on X. This was actually shortly, I believe it was actually on Saturday. in regards to what was actually unfolding on the ground in Iran. We, for the very first time, sent in one-way attack drones. Now, this was also, of course, a part of the Operation Epic Fury as well, but this was like a low-cost drone that they said was in the area. Now, they didn't give us the brand names or the manufacturers behind these drones. And I did reach out to the Pentagon for comments. I want to know, what kind of drones were these specifically? What was the brand of these drones? If you're asking, why would you ask that question, Brianna? Well, there's a lot that's on the line here. This reminds me of news that came out late last week, or early last week, I should say, in regards to Eric Trump. Eric Trump being behind a heavily invested new drone company that apparently is an AI-driven, Israel-funded drone company that was a startup. Eric Trump apparently has invested with his group about a $1.5 billion merger. And so many are wondering, just based on this, what drones were specifically utilized in all of this? Again, this is an Israeli drone company. And this just happened last week. This just announcement just came out last week. So the timing is quite concerning, but they're using the same verbiage. So keep that in the back of your minds. Now, again, the Pentagon has not yet responded in regards to all of this, and I will continue to follow up with it, as I did just moments ago before we went to air. But this is important information that the American people need to know. Now, earlier over the weekend, I've been very, very busy, very, very chaotic. I've been reaching out to sources on the ground, and I've gotten you some really critical pieces of information. I was one of the first ones to break this to you as well. The National Counterterrorism Center is on the ground right now in Austin, Texas. Both them and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is obviously ODNI, well, they are also involved in this investigation now. They're looking to see if there's potentially any foreign ties regarding that Islamic terrorist that decided to open fire inside of that Austin bar. Now, again, we've told you all about this. Over the weekend, Alex and I went to air with all of the breaking news in regards to this. But my source is telling me that they are, in fact, on the ground right now, looking to see if this individual had any ties to any foreign terrorism organizations. So one must ask, an individual who went in with the shirt, obviously you all saw the shirt, Property of Allah. He also apparently had the Islamic flag in both his home, and there are some reports that it was in his car, but again, these are all unclear. There was also the Iranian flag, it looks like, as well, and he had several images of the Ayatollah. Now, also, when I was going through his social media pages, and we still have not yet been able to confirm whether or not it is his social media pages, but it was very clear just moments before the shooting that there were images of, again, the Supreme Leader on his page. Now, if the page is real, and again, I keep reaching out to see if our government will verify it for us. Unfortunately, though, there's no transparency during times like these, so they won't. But he also had images of George Floyd, if this is his actual Instagram account. Now, again, I'm not going to post it because it's very difficult to get them to confirm any of this, although the images look very identical to the shooter. The government's not really issuing much in the way of a response to that question. Now, Data Republican has posted an extensive list of details in regards to who this individual is. And it's up right now on her X page if you'd like to take a look at that. But she went through it and did an extreme overview as to who this person is and the potential threats that he had faced. Now, keep in mind, this is an individual who was a naturalized U.S. citizen. He made his way into the United States thanks to, of course, Barack Obama and thanks to the B2 tourist visas. So again, that's who we have to thank. Now, he came to the United States back in 2000, so he's been here for quite some time. And everything is quite strange, especially when you look at his social media accounts. Now, again, it's really hard to verify whether or not he is the individual who's in the social media accounts because on his Twitter page, there's no actual image of him. It does have his first and last name, which apparently is a common name in the region that he comes from. And so, again, very, very difficult. Now, again, he comes from Senegal. So just to keep that in the back of your minds, folks, he does come from Senegal, which is obviously a region I think most Americans aren't very familiar with. But according to my sources that I've spoken to on the ground, when they go through a social media page, they went through all of it with me, they were the ones who told me that it's possible that he has a very common name. And so what you're seeing populate on social media could actually be inaccurate. And so we are trying our very best to vet the information, but it's extremely difficult, extremely difficult. And we're trying our very best to be as accurate as possible. Now back to this individual who made his way into our country due to the B2 tourist visa. He became a, this is the background that's according to Fox News, in 2006, he became a lawful permanent resident in 2006 based on marriage to a United States citizen. He was a naturalized citizen then later on in 2013 under Barack Obama. And it looks like if you look at his criminal record that there was an arrest regarding a collision with vehicle damage back in 2022. But it's not very clear as to who this individual is. We do know, though, of course, as we've been telling you about for quite some time now, that he is someone who was based in Texas. In Texas. No surprise. All major cities in Texas have been infiltrated. They've been conquered by these Islamists. And it's quite infuriating when you look at the information that's coming out now. Why? Well, because people like Amy Mack have been screaming about this for years now. They've been warning you, the American people, that Texas has been overtaken by jihadists. And because so many politicians are too afraid to say the truth, they don't want to actually address the issue. We know this. We know this. Keep in mind, folks, that New Orleans terror attack that took place in January 2025, that individual, again, was an American citizen, but he was someone who resided in Houston, Texas. He also belonged to a Houston mosque. Houston has been taken over by Islamists. It's not just Houston. It's also Austin as well, Dallas as well. And so many within our federal government are looking the other way. I know this because I continuously keep putting this on their radar. I continuously keep asking questions. In fact, I've been asking questions most recently just last week because this is something that I know is not on their radar. I've heard from several of my sources that we need to be on high alert here in the DFW and Austin area. Why? Well, specifically in DFW, they believe that they've imported a massive amount of weapons and are storing it in their mosque. Now, those reports are unconfirmed because, of course, our federal government doesn't actually want to do its job because they're too afraid to piss off the Islamists and go in there and do what they have to do. Because they believe, too, that Islam is a religion and it's protected by our U.S. Constitution. Now, it'd be great if we had a lawmaker go out there and actually make the argument against all of that. But unfortunately, we have a bunch of feckless cowards who continuously go out there and refuse to do just that. Folks, let me remind you, every member of law enforcement who has reached out to me over the last year has been sounding the alarm on how concerned they are. Their local police departments have been infiltrated. They've been expired. Well, they've been, we'll just say they've been bought off. That's the best way to describe it. Those top officials I've reported on extensively here in Plano, Texas. Plano, Texas, our police chief, Ed Drain, has been working with the mosque, working with Islamic leaders. They don't give a damn that the Muslim Brotherhood is constantly going in there and sending their officials to speak at these mosques. They just want to cater to them. I mean, our public schools have been giving halal meat outs. It is absolute garbage, people. Garbage. And while they continue to tell us that there's a group, a small group of individuals who are peaceful Muslims, they haven't yet spoken out about the attack that took place in Austin. And before we sit here and pretend like this is just a reaction to what happened in Iran, this is Islam. This is Islam. I'm going to go over the stats as to what of a serious threat this is really to the United States in just a little bit. Because again, here in the homeland, we do have a significant threat underway. And sadly, I don't understand, and this is going to be my opinion part here, I do not understand why we launched these attacks in Iran when we know that we have sleeper cells here in the United States. Now, I have confirmed, based on what we know, based on the numbers that have been given to us, that we've only captured about less than 8% of the sleeper cells here in the United States. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to be breaking down the very exclusive information that you won't see anywhere else because everyone else doesn't want to ask these questions, but they're too afraid to piss off the jihadists. More underway in just a moment.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot and show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles. But it's every organ, folks, and you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds. Squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff. Quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. It takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. Obviously, with what's unraveled over these last few days in Iran, the United States and Israel teaming up to launch a series of attacks within Iran. And right now, we just heard from the Pentagon moments ago, and Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, saying that as of right now, there are no boots on the ground, but he would not give specifics or even a timeline as to how long this will have to carry out. Just telling the American people that we have our warriors out there right now fighting for the American people. And again, we played it in the open. The reason why the Pentagon is saying that they had to launch these attacks is that Iranians were working on, the regime was working on a massive weapon. Now, specifically, they won't tell us what. They just described it as drones and missiles and didn't go into detail on all of this. But right now, I think most Americans want to hear from the Iranian people themselves to see where they fall on all of this. So joining me to discuss is Annie Cyrus. She's an incredible independent journalist. She is someone who obviously is very well experienced in Iran because she comes from Iran and she's fled here to the United States. And she's one of the very few people I trust on this subject matter. because she knows it better than anyone else. She's also the author behind liveuptofreedom.substack.com. That is liveuptofreedom.substack.com. And she's also the author of the book, The Architecture of Jihad, Inside the Ideology, Law, and Global Strategy Driving Islam's Multi-Front Expansion. And she's a great resource of information, so it is honestly an honor to have her on the program. And before we get into your books, I want to just dive into that a little bit with you in just a moment. But I want to get to this first. I want to hear from what you're hearing from your sources on the ground in Iran. What was their reaction to what unraveled over the weekend?
Thank you so much for having me, Brianna. And I think my face speaks for itself. Inside Iran or outside Iran, a good 90% of Iranians, I'm not going to say all of us, 90% of Iranians are celebrating. We have been praying for this help. We've been praying for the right strikes, which on the very first day, as most of your audience know by now, they took out Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, the man behind almost 37 years of bloodshed, torture, funding proxies, including blood of Americans on his hand, was taken out, which automatically doesn't mean Iran was liberated, but it does mean there was an end to the Islamic Republic part of Iran. Inside Iran, I have published dozens of videos of Iranians inside their homes, in their backyard, literally looking at the sky saying, come on, hit it, hit it. They're welcoming this. There are banners, again, inside and outside on celebration videos. You see the banners of thank you, Trump. Thank you, Bibi. You do not see, you see a handful of people who are upset, those who supported the regime. But the rest of the Iranians are beyond happy with what's happening. They look forward to the rest of it. Genuinely, they look forward.
Yeah, well, that's what it seems to be when I'm looking on social media and the videos that are populating right now. It does look like they are genuinely happy about all of this. For those of us here in the United States, though, obviously we are concerned about what our official military role in all of this is going to be long term. President Trump coming out and telling Iranians, listen, now is your time to take over and to reclaim your government. What does that look like right now? Are Iranians preparing to strike back and to help with this fight?
Yes. So let me address something you said at the beginning of your sentence. I want to make something very clear, and this is no disrespect to us here in America, but I will strongly suggest that your audience do not look at the headlines on American media. This is, by definition, on the paper, this was a war that Israel started, and United States of America is backing Israel, or IDF to be specific. That's why President Trump didn't need approval from Congress, because we didn't go to war with Iran. We're backing our ally that technically on a paper we have an agreement with to back them up if they need military support during a war. That is important to know. I know most of the media in America are saying this is America at war with Iran. We did the first strike. That's not true. If you look at the trace of all the evidence from day one until now, at 1:15 a.m. Saturday morning our time, the first strike was by IDF. And the entire first 5 hours, we didn't even lift a finger. We were standing by for backup support. And when it was needed, we went in and supported. So far, our military had three main targets on Saturday, which our guys did a fabulous job of hitting them. They went in, they did the job, they come back out. Yes, it is tragic. It is sad that so far three of our servicemen have been killed. However, we cannot let this narrative fly around that America went to war with Iran. No, we didn't. We backed our ally in Middle East, which is Israel. The second thing, I don't think, looking at where we're at, this isn't going to take more than 2 weeks, Brianna. So far, they have taken out over 1,200 targets between U.S. and Israel. They have taken out 1,200 targets, which in total, there's only 1,700 to be taken out for the regime to collapse. So we're more than two-thirds of the way there in only 3 days. So it's not going to be a never-ending war reset. When we went to Iraq, when we went to Afghanistan, went to Libya, any of that, we just went in. This time we went in after 60 days of full revolution by the people of Iran, after they announced their picked leader, and then after the leader came out and said, I'm willing to become the transitional government, I'm referring to Crown Prince Pahlavi. So we're not just going into Iran, turning it into chaos. There's a leader standing by to come in, take power. As of yesterday, late night, he released another video thanking President Trump, thanking Bibi Netanyahu, and announcing that him and his transitional team are ready to go. So I'm not talking to you as an Iranian. I'm talking to you as a fellow American who does not like these never-ending wars. This is not going to be one of those. As far as people of Iran, yes, they are standing by. The coordination is coming from Crown Prince Pahlavi like it did on January 8th and 9th. He has released videos. He has started a full-time network right now. We're receiving updates. We're receiving commands. So people of Iran are to march on the streets and take over the government at a specific day, at a specific time that will be released by our elected transitional government, Crown Prince Pahlavi.
Okay, so can you walk us through all of this? Because this is also one of the main problems I think Americans are looking at. We were afraid that the United States was getting involved in something that would be similar to regime change. Now, President Trump, he did put out some statements, but it did exactly sound like what Americans fear, and that this was all about a regime change right now. And obviously, we're seeing the collapse of the current regime, so a lot of Americans are scratching their head wondering what's going on. Eric Prince also will play the clip later in the show coming out and saying that he was worried about this too. Who is this leader that you're speaking about right now? Because I think the American people haven't really heard much on that front.
So Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi is the son of the late King of Iran, King Pahlavi. Mm-hmm. He was 18 years old. Well, technically 17 when the revolution started in Iran, but he's been pretty much growing up in America since he was 18. Excluding the time that we had to exile his father and the family during the hostage crisis in Iran. But he pretty much grew up in America. He is very familiar with our system. He is a very successful businessman. He was already trained when he was a child because he was going to replace his father in the future. He has more than 17 European countries endorsement on the leadership. He also has the endorsement of Israeli government and as the transitional government. And within those 60 days of revolution in Iran, you can find thousands of videos inside Iran, outside of Iran, the chance for his return. Now, I need to be very clear. He's not coming back as a monarch. He is not. He has made that very clear. For your audience who might be curious, if you go to the phoenixprojectofiran.com, his entire 100-day plan after taking over power is listed with details, names, cabinet members, background checks. Everything is in that website. He is coming in as a transitional republic government for the first 100 days until the country can come up with an election day and people of Iran will decide if they want him to stay in power in a monarch format or a republic, or there's a different candidate that will take over. Because that's the biggest concern. Americans who know about him, they're worried he's going to turn the country into monarch. That's not his plan. However, I have a strong feeling, including myself, Persians prefer monarch system like it was during his father. So there's a good chance it might turn into that, but that is not his plan.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. I should say he has already met with Witkoff per request of President Trump. So it's not like he's just gaining momentum in Europe. He has been on the radar of President Trump as well. However, President Trump himself said on an interview that considering the circumstances, it is very inappropriate for me to sit down with him today. I can't do that, but I am watching him and I...
Did we lose Annie? Yeah, I think we lost her for a second. Annie, we lost you there for a second. If you want to repeat that final sentence you just cited. All right. Looks like we're going to fix that connection with Annie Cyrus. She's an incredible independent journalist. You could find her work at liveuptofreedom.com. That's where she could be found. She does a great job at breaking all of this down. She also will be speaking to us about her latest book that you could pre-order right now on her website. which breaks down the expansion of jihadism here in the United States and elsewhere as well, the multi-front expansion. So we look forward to having her back once we get her cleared. But, you know, my follow-up question was going to be to shift things over. You know, Annie and I were talking over the weekend in regards to the terror attack that was carried out in Austin, Texas. We do know that this was an Islamic terrorist. This individual did, obviously, you've probably seen the images, was wearing a shirt that did say property of Allah. This individual also, apparently, according to reports, this is the New York Post latest report, inside of his home did have an Iranian flag and photos of the Islamic Republic leaders as well. They're saying that was in his home. This is an individual who prior lived in New York and then made his way back to Texas. Now, Texas has been a hotbed for a lot of this, and I've been reporting. If you watch this show, you probably remember when we were talking about the El Paso drone attack that took place. Remember when they shut down the El Paso airport for what they initially said was 10 days, and then it was ramped up quite quickly never mind. We're not closing it up. We're going to reopen, and commercial airlines will be able to fly in and out of the airport. Well, all of that has since shifted over and has since changed. And they said that it was the drug cartels, but my sources told me it didn't make any sense that this was a drug cartel drone. And so we've been digging into this for quite some time, and I've been trying to keep you guys on high alert for all of this. It looks like we have Annie Cyrus back on. Annie, we lost you with a little bit of the connection there. I wanted you to finish up your thought.
Yes, I apologize. My system crashed, but I was just saying that Crown Prince Pahlavi is on President Trump's radar. So he has decided, President Trump. That's again why I'm hoping this is not a usual, typical U.S. Change of regime method, because President Trump has to stay away from naming anyone, meeting with anyone, any candidates, any potentials, which is a sign of this is not another Iraq, Libya, or Afghanistan.
Interesting, interesting. Well, and, you know, we were talking about the terror attack that took place in Austin. You and I were on the phone yesterday, kind of sifting through the social media accounts that possibly do belong to the terrorists that did carry out those horrific attacks. As many of you guys know, there were two innocent individuals who were killed. The shooter was also taken down. And thankfully, Austin PD did respond within less than 57 seconds, it looks like. And they did shoot that individual. Over a dozen others are right now being hospitalized. They are injured. We don't know the status of those injuries, but of course, we're keeping our eye to that. You know, Annie, we talk often about the homeland threat here in the United States, and this one's a serious one. You know, I've been exclusively reporting, I've been reaching out to the federal government trying to get some answers as to where do we stand with the sleeper cells that were imported by the Biden regime. You know, I want to play clip six for our audience. Clip six highlights specifically the known terrorists that were brought into this country by the Biden regime. Take a listen.
NCTC has been crunching the numbers and going through the sheer volume of known and suspected terrorists that are in the country that came in under the Biden administration. So far, NCTC has identified around 18,000 known and suspected terrorists that the Biden administration let come into our country. These are individuals who under normal circumstances would never be allowed to enter our country because of their ties to jihadi groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Yet the Biden administration not only let them into the country and in many cases facilitated their entry into the country, just like the entry of the Afghan terrorists who committed the terrorist attack here just before Thanksgiving, killing one of our National Guard members and wounding another. That Afghan was brought into the country as a group of over 100,000 Afghans who were brought here during the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. These individuals, despite what has been reported, were not vetted properly to come into the United States. The individual terrorist who committed the attack in D.C., he was vetted to serve as a soldier in Afghanistan. The Biden administration essentially used his tactical level vetting as a ruse to bring him here and to bring him into our communities. And we've seen the tragic results of that. Now, that Afghan, that attacker, that terrorist is just one of 88,000. We've identified 2,000 of that group of 88,000 who have ties to terrorist organizations. We're working right now hand in hand with DHS and with the FBI to run down this 2,000, the Afghans who came here under Allies Welcome who have ties to terrorist organizations, and additionally the other 16,000 individuals with ties to terrorist organizations that Biden let into our country. That is probably the top terrorist threat that we face right now, and that doesn't include the individuals who came here illegally through the open border. That number, alarmingly, remains unknown at this time. We're trying to figure out who those individuals are as well.
All right. For weeks now, I've been trying to run these numbers to figure out what's going on here. Actually, it's been months, Annie, and we've only captured, it sounds like, about 7.8% of those known suspected terrorists that were released into our country. I know this because I asked DHS for the exact number, and they say that they've captured 1,416 of them, and only a little over 1,300 of them have officially been removed from the United States. When it comes to the homeland right now, are you concerned that we might see more in the way of attacks like we saw in Austin?
I am, actually. The day one, I put a post out saying, be aware of your surroundings, have your guard up, not to be afraid, but have your guard up, because this is where, you know, you don't just take out Khamenei and celebrate. He had too many ties. He was the head of the snake, but he had too many soldiers out who are going to try to take revenge. Just watch what's happening in Karachi, Islamabad, and Erbil, Pakistan, and Iraq since yesterday. They've been trying to attack our embassy and consulate because they're upset with what happened. So, yes, I am concerned we're probably going to see a spike on terrorist attack, jihadist attack inside America, especially in certain areas like Austin or New York City, Los Angeles, California. And I want to add something. I hear you on those numbers, Brianna, but one thing I've been covering is, imagine for each one of them who came to America, how many of our young men they have recruited. For every one jihadi you let in, and you let them stick around for years in America, they start their grooming, they start their recruiting. So we end up with, for every jihadi that came in from outside, especially trained ones like the one in D.C., the attacker in D.C., they end up turning themselves into 10 to 12 other jihadis inside America. So the numbers we hear are way bigger, not because they let more people in, but because they turned our own young men in America. There was a Substack I wrote about the war on our young men in America. They're turning them into jihadis. They're recruiting them through these people that we're not capturing. So that's something to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on your, you know, young boys in the family. If you see a change of routine, if you see them off, pay attention. Don't let them be grabbed by the jihadists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the main things that I think is really, really important. And Annie, I want to get to your book, because you have a book coming out, and we have it right now. It's up right now on liveuptofreedom.com for our audience that would like to check it out. The Architecture of Jihad Inside the Ideology, Law, and Global Strategy Driving Islam's Multi-Front Expansion. Let's talk about it here on the homeland a little bit and let you kind of detail what they could expect from this latest book.
Of course. So I actually started writing this right after the 12 Days War last year. It happened that it's being released during the second round of the war, but I wrote it because the first thing I noticed after the ceasefire or during those 12 days was how much my fellow Americans are not aware of what we're facing here in America. We say jihad, everybody thinks of what happened in Austin, what happened in Boston Marathon, what happened on September 11, and they're not aware that there's way more faces into jihad than screaming Allahu Akbar and killing people. This book has 11 chapters. 10 chapters explain the 10 different forms of jihad that Muslims commit inside America heavily since September 11. And the last chapter is basically called United Front, where I give tangible and practical ways for Americans to be able to reverse this damage, not necessarily putting it all on legislators. There are steps for average Americans to be able to stop and reverse the damage, because again, jihad doesn't end at bombing and suicide bombing and knife attacks. Jihad goes deeper. It goes into political jihad. We're watching Mamdanis in office, and Rashida Tlaibs and Ilhan Omars and rest of them. There is the lawfare jihad, where we're witnessing care do it to Americans. So I saw the need after the 12 days, and again, it happened to come out. It is available on pre-order on my website, but it's going to be the time that we're going to see a lot of anti-Semitism in America during this war, instead of noticing this war had to happen because of the architecture of jihad if we don't end it at the head of a snake, it's going to continue growing in our country. And there will be a day when we have to fight on our streets to save our liberty.
How do you recommend? Okay, so this is the big problem that I know so many of us have. When we, as we've seen in the wars in the Middle East, when the Americans are obviously there, we're leading obviously air support for Israel. We're supporting Israel in all of this. We see then an influx years later of refugees that are flooded into our country, and myself included. I mean, we don't want more Muslims in our country anymore, because we've seen the everlasting effects of this. You know, when we go now for Christmas celebrations, you know, I was just simply walking around. I live in the DFW area, and I was just trying to enjoy Christmas with my family. We've got these concrete barriers that are created and put up now because we can't simply enjoy the holiday season anymore because these people have come into our country. And of course, not all of them. I'll say that. I'll be honest there. But, you know, when they're driving their vehicles, when they're being instructed to use their vehicles as weapons and target Christians and other groups, this wasn't a problem that we had before all of this. So how do we combat that?
Well, the first step, I'll go back to the book. In the book, one of the chapters, that is the civilization jihad, at the end of that chapter, I have about a dozen or 10 steps of practical countermeasures. I believe number one or number two in there is when you take action by boycotting the system of Sharia in your city, in your town, in your state. And boycotting Sharia system is not a stopping Muslims from doing their prayer or fasting during Ramadan. Boycotting it is when you stop, for example, stop purchasing from any store that is providing halal products. You stop. That is where you're funding your demise. If you cut the money, they can't survive in America. They have to leave. The other part is you don't donate to any of your humanitarian causes that are supporting funding of Sharia. It takes a little bit of work, Brianna. We both know doing research is not that easy. But if Americans are serious to stop the growth of Islam and practice of Sharia through Muslims in America, we need to do our homework. When somebody knocks at your door and say, hey, I'm here from CARE, C-A-R-E, the organization, they knocked at my door. We're helping, you know, poor people and this and that. I said, I'm going to dig into your organization and I'm going to donate if needed. When I started digging, they were sending most of their money to PLO in Palestine. I didn't donate. So don't get emotional. Here's the thing, Brianna, Americans tend to be too emotional. We feel like we owe the world a lot because we have a better life here. We have earned our better life, people. They didn't hand it to us. You don't need to enable your enemy because you feel bad about your privileges. Our privileges come from God. Maybe the nations would be thriving like we do if they came to God as well. So number one, clean
Annie,
up your
we're gonna hit heartbreak. Stay right there, Annie Cyrus. We're gonna take you back in just 2 minutes.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. Get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I sat out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Annie Cyrus is still on the program with us. So I wanted to give Annie the rest of this 4 minutes so she can complete her thought there. Annie, thank you for staying on hold with us. I'll let you take it away.
Absolutely. So yes, clean up your neighborhood. Do not fund stores, any kind of store that is supporting halal certification. Leave your churches. If your church is involved with interfaith dialogue, leave it. You're funding that church. Leave that church, find another church, or find an online church if has to be. Do not fund a church that is giving you away, that is giving into the phony and fake Jesus of Islam because they want to keep their status and collect donations. Last but not least, remember, there is no such a thing as Islamophobia. In America, we are not Islamophobes. We are suffering from Islamic trauma. Reacting to trauma based on facts on hand is not a crime. It's not a discrimination. It's not racism. Stop letting these labels carry on the mission through your neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, Annie Cyrus, that's great advice for the American people to follow through with. And again, just to remind our audience, you do an incredible job at explaining all of this. And there's not many sources that I trust in regards to the information that's coming in from off the ground in Iran, but you have a great way of sifting through it to feed us the most accurate information. So folks at home right now, if you'd like to support her great work as an independent journalist, you could do just that by heading over right now to liveuptofreedom.substack.com and become a subscriber to her work. If you'd like to purchase her book as well, it's over at liveuptofreedom.com, and you'll grab yourself a copy there as well. Annie Cyrus, thank you. I'm sure we'll have you back on later this week because so much is happening in the region. So we look forward to having you back on the program.
My pleasure. Be safe.
You as well, my friend. You be safe too. All right, folks, we got a lot more happening here in just a few moments. I wanted to also talk to an expert in regards to the cyber threat that we are currently facing right now. Now, I've spoken to experts throughout the entire weekend, those who are still working for the federal government and those who have left the federal government, and they are the ones who are sounding the alarms on the cyber threat that we face here in the homeland. Taylor Hathorn is going to be joining the program in just a little bit. She is an incredible national security specialist and expert on the issue, and we look forward to having her on the program in about 4 minutes, so we look forward to that. We've also got a lot more to dive into in regards to the threat in the homeland as well. And then I've got some other stories to make sure we catch you up on. And folks, later on the show too, I want to hear directly from our audience, specifically though from our veterans, because I want to hear from you as to how you feel about the press conference that was held today at the Pentagon. What were your thoughts on that? What were your thoughts on President Trump's strikes over the weekend, obviously, in Iran as well? So we'll be taking your calls later in the program as well. But I want to specifically have the first callers that call on the wave of callers be veterans only. So the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If you are a veteran, please call in. We're going to have you wait on hold for a little bit longer. It probably won't be another maybe 45 minutes before we get to callers on those lines. But I want to hear from them because you guys know better than anyone else. I am not an expert on the matter, but you guys all are. And we look forward to hearing your input as to what's going on within the Pentagon right now, that press conference that was held, as well as President Trump's actions over the weekend. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we still have our BOGO sale and is going on right this very second over at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, you buy, you're going to get a free bottle of Sea Moss or the Shilajit gummies with every creatine powder that is purchased right now. Now, that's going to end today, so you got to jump in on that sale right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. We also have 25% off t-shirts, hats, and hoodies, and that's going on until Wednesday as well. So if you're heading on over to the shop, now is the best time to grab these items and stock them up in your cart. And of course, when you support us over at the alexjonesstore.com, you're helping us stay in this fight, and we greatly appreciate you for doing just that. All right, more underway in regards to the cyber threats in just a moment.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible highest quality concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. Get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Waking up America one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're glad you're all jumped on board with us today. We're trying to dive into everything in regards to what we saw unravel over the weekend in Iran, here in the United States as well, with that terror attack in Austin. And we're trying to prepare our audience for what potentially is looming, the looming threat that is now underway. As many of you guys heard, we heard from the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, who says we are prepared for any potential sleeper cells that might pop up here on the homeland, of course, that coming again directly from the Secretary of War. But it's something that we all have our eyes on. But, you know, over the weekend, I'm calling around and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, what should we be warning our audience about. And the main issue that all my friends who are former counterintelligence experts was telling me about was the cyber threat. As many of you guys know, Iran is pretty well-versed on how to launch cyber attacks, and that was something that everyone was trying to put on my radar. According to publicly sourced information, they describe Iran as a top of the second tier when it comes to these global cyber attacks. So this was obviously something that had my ears perking up, and I was very interested in learning more about. I'm sure you all are as well. So joining me right now to discuss is Taylor Hatthorne. She is the National Security Fellow at Independent Women and an Iranian Fellow at the Hamlet Society of Public Interest Fellowship. She joins me now to kind of walk our audience through all of this. And Taylor, it's an honor to have you in the program today because, you know, a lot of people are deeply concerned about this. I was hearing from sources that this is one of the big threats that Americans need to look out for and they need to stockpile and prepare for because this is something that Iran is very, very well versed on. So can you kind of walk our audience through this? How concerned are you personally in regards to a possible cyber attack that could be unleashed on us by Iran?
Yeah, I spent many years at the Department of Justice in the cybersecurity division as a contractor, and I can tell you that Iran is very prevalent in the cybersecurity space, but they're not the most prevalent, right? So you've still got China, you've still got Russia, who are completely involved and really responsible for the majority of the attacks, primarily China. But what you see happen with Iran, they really target our lack of cybersecurity awareness in this country, right? So like you'll see, I talked to my grandpa over the weekend. We were watching these like videos on YouTube and he pulled up this one, and it was like this like clearly AI video, right? And I was like, Papa, that is AI. And he was like, no. And if I click on it, you know, I can buy all of this stuff. And so I think that it's not just my grandfather. You know, it's people around the United States that don't understand cybersecurity awareness and cybersecurity infrastructure in this nation. And the sad reality is that the people who work in our government and in our banks and in our health our healthcare systems are not immune to that either. I mean, how many times have any of us gotten a cybersecurity alert to do a training and we're just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this. But it's really important that you pay attention to those things so that you don't let someone like an adversary like Iran into the back door of your system.
Yeah, we've seen this time and time again, these types of things that you're describing being carried out. And I think that's extremely concerning for so many Americans. And, you know, the thing that everyone was trying to put on my radar over the weekend was trying to drill home the point that potentially infrastructure sectors are extremely vulnerable right now. Energy and water systems are one of the things that could possibly be carried out by the Iranian regime as well. What do you know in regards to that? Give us a little background as to how severe that threat could possibly be.
I mean, our infrastructure in the United States is atrocious. It was absolutely untouched the last 4 years under the Biden administration. Look at the bridge that fell outside of Baltimore in Maryland. Look at the giant Potomac crisis that's happening outside of Washington, D.C. right now that the national legacy media refuses to cover, which is the largest human waste spill on record. And so we don't even need a cybersecurity attack to affect our infrastructure and to point out how terrible the infrastructure of this country is. We have got to invest in infrastructure. And what that means to me is starting to make sure that we put a highlight and a primer on these jobs that protect these manufacturing jobs, that put a focus on the importance of having, you know, strong welders and strong plumbers and strong electricians, because for too long we've put a highlight on the fact that we need, you know, liberal studies majors in this country, and we need people to major in these degrees that do absolutely nothing to promote the safety and security of this nation. And so I think that we need more people involved in infrastructure, the physical infrastructure development, but we also need continued infrastructure development in our cybersecurity. I have said for the longest time that I think that the way that most of these attacks are going to happen, that are going to affect America the most, is when these adversaries get into our lower level networks and they work their way up the chain. So it is really hard, for example, to break into CISA's network or the NSA or DOW. It's very, very hard to break into those. It is not hard to break into a local water municipality or a local dam municipality or a local power municipality and shut off the access that maybe funds our bases, you know, in those states and cities. And so we've really got to look at those lower level outliers that are at the greatest risk right now. But luckily for most Americans, Iran primarily focuses on ransomware attacks. And so what does that mean for the average American? It really means that they will break into your system and do a denial of service and make you pay for an amount of money to get back into the system. And so you think for like major banks, well, what's the big deal about that? They have infrastructure. Iran is the number one state sponsor of terrorism around the world. So if you want to know where Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis and the Shia militias are getting their money from, it's through American dollars, through these ransomware attacks. And so Americans really have to be prevalent, and your institutions and your banks and your health insurance companies owe it to you to make sure that these cybersecurity attacks don't occur.
Yeah, and that's a big problem too. The private sector has to step it up a notch right now to make sure that these are secure methods that they're currently using. You know, you mentioned the water systems obviously being something that they possibly could. What would that attack, what would that look like if they were able to get into those systems? What would be the worst case scenario? What would be, you know, just what's the possibilities, I should say? I don't want to fearmonger too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really love to fearmonger, because like the fearmongering, I could say the worst case scenario, you're looking at Armageddon, but that's not really reality here. Mm-hmm. What reality is they break into and they pick line by line out of these networks, and they kind of like burrow their way into the network, and then they maintain a low level presence there until it is time to escalate and do a denial of service attack. And so, I mean, but really anyone who's involved in cybersecurity, or who's concerned about cybersecurity knows that they could shut down systems, but where they are good at this, the United States is a lot better. Our private sector is incredible. Our government sector, CISA, is really, really good at their job. jobs, the zero trust infrastructure and zero trust model that we're setting up throughout the United States infrastructure, it works on a federal level. And I strongly recommend for the states and local municipalities to start adopting some of those same principles where you don't trust bad actors to get into your systems. And if they do get into your systems, you lock them in one space so that they can't move to the next, to the next, to the next, which is really, really important when we're looking at the concept of zero trust and why that matters.
Yeah, no, that is really important. And, you know, you're bringing up CISA, and I want to remind our audience right now that DHS is in a partial shutdown as of right now. In fact, there's a funding issue there. And, you know, I know the secretary, Kristi Noem, has been advocating for, you know, the federal government to go back to funding them. What do you think in regards to all of that? Because, again, it's not really affecting them as of right now, even though we're a couple of weeks into all of this. It's not truly affecting us. They've been able to pull in a lot of the FEMA funds as well to kind of cover a lot of these expenses. But is there any avenue, or is there any, I guess I should say, is there anything that you're deeply concerned about in regards to CISA in this partial shutdown?
Well, you and I were talking about this last night with the shooting that happened at the bar outside of Austin. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that that for sure would have been curtailed if, you know, DHS had all of their funding. But as an American citizen and as a taxpayer, I wondered, could it have been if we had one more person in a seat monitoring two more people? You know, and so what has to happen in order for the Democrats to say, okay, we'll make sure that the Department of Homeland Security is funded, and they know that ICE is funded anyway right now. And so this is really just an opportunity for the left to milk every ounce of political goodwill that they have in order to affect the midterms. But I'm deeply concerned about DHS being closed right now, especially during a time with heightened terrorist threats throughout the United States and the world. I strongly recommend that Congress does its job and reopens the federal government to its full capacity.
Yeah, well, we're hoping for that. And we're also, I'm trying to remind Americans that it's going on right now. And it's so unfortunate. You know, I know Noem has, obviously, she's not getting paid and members on her team aren't getting paid, and they're trying to find funds to shift over to make sure our federal agents are receiving a paycheck. But a lot of people are going to have to shift over to taking out loans that accrue interest. And it's just not fair to keep doing this to those who are putting themselves on the front lines in all of this. So there's that as well. Before you go, Taylor, I wanted to get your take on this. What can the American people right now do to protect themselves from potential cyber attacks? Obviously, we just talked about the private sector a bit, and obviously the water and energy infrastructures itself. But what can we do to prepare ourselves?
I mean, don't ignore your iPhone and don't ignore your Android when it says, you know, to change your password. I would regularly change your passwords. I would make sure that you're not using your dog's name or your child's name or any, you know, easily identifying password for friends, and maybe don't have all of your banks have the same passwords. I mean, this is basic cybersecurity awareness. And I think most people, you know, most average Americans think, well, Iran doesn't care about the, you know, $10,000 or $2,000 I have in my bank account. No, they really don't, but they care about the infrastructure of JP Morgan or Bank of America overall. And if they can get in through your back door and make sure that they follow their way up the chain, then we're at serious risk as a whole. So, you know, cybersecurity is everyone's business. It's everyone's problem. And just make sure that you're protecting yourself and that you're being smart with your data.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really important for Americans to understand. And, you know, it's an honor to have you in the program to kind of break that all down for us, because I think that's one of the areas that a lot of these networks are missing right now is the cyber threat that's possibly looming. And so this is great information for our audience to be armed with. Taylor Hathorn, thank you so much for joining us today. It's incredible to hear this from you, and especially because you are an expert on the subject matter. So we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, we're shifting our attention a bit, and I want to keep drilling home the point in all of this, and that point being that, yeah, we are at risk. I've been talking about this for quite some time now. I've been trying to warn the American people that we've got a massive issue underway right now. We are vulnerable. I mean, the last 4 years under the Biden administration, we've had open borders, and so many unknown individuals have poured into this country. And it's been absolutely heartbreaking to see happen. We've been covering these stories for 4+ years now. And we're starting to feel like we're just sitting ducks at this point. It's not meant to be a fear-mongering tactic. It's meant to prepare you for what might potentially happen. Now, I have a great friend who I usually turn to for advice on subject matters like this. His name is George Hill. He's an FBI whistleblower. But the reason why George Hill is so important to me is George Hill was the whistleblower, came forward and reported Bank of America, I believe it was, for handing over the records, the financial records of January 6th attendees, people who weren't accused of committing crimes. They handed over their bank and financial records without subpoenas. And so George Hill earned a lot of credibility in my eyes when he came forward and blew the whistle on just that. So I turned to him when I want to hear the very latest as to what I need to be up to date on, what I need to be warning my people, my audience of. And he did just that in clip five. Take a listen.
As we watch the news coverage of the U.S. and Israeli forces going into Iran, it seems eerily reminiscent of when the Israelis responded after the October 7th attack in Israel. This is not when we went into Iraq the first time, not when we went into Iraq the second time. This is not Afghanistan. This is not the Maduro raid or capturing Soleimani or killing Soleimani. There could be repercussions here in this country. So a couple of things. You should have at least $500 cash on hand, at least 3 days of food and water in your house so that you don't have to go out, at least 3/4 of a tank of gas in your vehicle, and know that there is a good chance that the Iranians may disrupt cell and internet activities here in this country, which would bring down point of sales terminals, which means that all transactions would have to be via cash. And even that might stop for a while, which is why you should have some food and water in the house. But I would think that we should be prepared for some degree of discomfort in this country. This is not like it was the first couple of times. If we are to believe what we were told through two administrations, that there are maybe hundreds, if not thousands, of operatives that came across the border during the Biden administration, if that's true, there could be some discomfort in an otherwise comfortable American life.
All right, that's George Hill, my very trusted source, FBI whistleblower, has come forward to save the American people. And that's the advice he has for all of you at home. He's exclusively giving that to us, of course, because he wants you to be prepared. And obviously, there's many fronts in all of this. Now, for months now, I've been asking the questions in regards to how many of these sleeper cells have we tossed out of our country. We know, we've been able to confirm that there have been thousands of individuals who have been labeled by our own federal government as known or suspected terrorists released into the country. The Biden regime, when it was their time when they were running DHS, had no problem admitting that to the American people. But since then, things have changed, and they're not doing that anymore. Well, I should say, obviously, because he's no longer occupying the White House. But we have a new change in everything. And right now, this current administration is supposed to be going out there and capturing these individuals that were released into the country. And this is the big problem here, right? This is what the Biden regime knew. They knew to flood our system with sex offenders, suspected and known terrorists, murderers, and then bring in millions of other people who, according to Democrats, they'll tell you, oh, they're not criminals, even though they illegally came into our country. They'll claim they're not criminals, but they have completely flooded the system. So I wanted to know, before we unleash these attacks on Iran, how many of these known or suspected terrorists have we captured? Now, we played the clip for you earlier in the show, and it was a clip that said specifically from Joe Kent, who's done an incredible job at leading the efforts on all of this and has been trying to sound the alarms on the issue, saying that we know of at least 18,000 that were released into the country, and that's what we know of, so the number could be significantly higher. But when I asked DHS for the breakdown, they actually did provide me with the numbers. They claimed to me that ICE has arrested 1,416 known or suspected terrorists. And that's 1,000, by the way. And has apparently removed a little over 1,300 individuals from the United States from that group. So again, that's a lot. But then there's another number that they threw my way. And I asked them to kind of explain this breakdown, and they haven't yet responded. But they said that ICE has arrested over 43,000 potential national security risks that were released into the country. This is, according to them, under President Trump's first year in the White House. So that means if you look at the numbers that we just have currently, and you're just going based off of what we know, that so far DHS has only been able to round up about 7.8% of the individuals that they deem as known or suspected terrorists. So again, the margins are very significant that there's possibly a looming threat here in the United States. And it's very, very important that we alert you to that, not because we believe in fear mongering, but because we're trying to keep our eye on all of this. As many of you guys know, I'm friends with Amy Mech. She does an incredible job over at the RARE Foundation going through a lot of these publicly available. There's like seminars and other speaking events that go on, and she watches them with her team, and they put together all of this information so you know exactly what's going on here. And again, it's not fear-mongering if you live in places like Texas. Texas, over the last few years, has seen hundreds of mosques pop up all over the place. Specifically, though, about 330 mosques have popped up in Texas. Now, that's significantly, significantly high. And you're probably wondering why or how is that even possible, and so are the rest of us. I mean, we don't know how that is even possible, but apparently it is. You know, sadly, we have a bunch of cowards who didn't want to weigh on this issue. I'm talking about the rhinos, because Texas still, on paper, is a red state. And so you'd think that Republicans would understand the issue. But Greg Abbott's now getting involved. And I want to emphasize this. He is just now getting involved. This has been an ongoing issue. And I've been trying to alert top officials throughout the federal government about this issue. And sadly, so many, even our lawmakers, have absolutely no idea on the subject matter as to what's going on in all of this. So when I tell them what's happening, they don't seem to understand. They don't seem to understand. And it's very, very alarming, very, very alarming that they don't seem to catch on to this. Now, again, folks, I'm going to remind you, these same individuals, by the way, on the federal level at least, have decided to, and this is just mind-blowing to me, how they only, and we're told that DHS was necessary, of course, the Patriot Act and other things that came about, but we were told that DHS was necessary for this country's livelihood, for our safety and security. And so they created DHS and all the other entities underneath it. And then we watched as Republicans negotiated a budget that didn't actually fully fund DHS. It only partially funded DHS, and DHS was going to be on its own to continue the funding. So if DHS is truly a necessity for the American people, then why would Republicans not fully fund it and allow Democrats to hold it hostage? And that's what's underway right now. There are certain entities or certain elements to DHS that are not receiving funding. Now, we're told that Speaker Mike Johnson is expected to potentially hold a vote on this later this week. But again, why would you launch these attacks if you weren't 100% prepared? Makes you wonder. Folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have an incredible sale going on for just a couple more hours. It's BOGO on one of your favorite items. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, I got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere.
Currently serving as the 41st United States Secretary of Commerce, joined Cantor Fitzgerald in 1983, rising rapidly to become its president and CEO at age 29, establishing himself as a prominent Wall Street figure for over three decades, rebuilding Cantor Fitzgerald after the devastating loss of 658 employees, including his brother, in the September 11th, 2001 attacks, an event he somehow missed.
Jeffrey Epstein was your neighbor. He was your neighbor for 10 years. How well did you know him?
All right. So we are in number 11, and he lives in number 9.
The head of Cantor Fitzgerald, Harold Lutnick, just happened to be out of the office that day that the terrorists struck.
When I was talking to Cantor Fitzgerald brokers and bankers in the days leading up to 9/11, they themselves were buying these airline puts. They told me, based on rumors that were coming out of Alex Brown, associated with Buzzy Krongard. So this looks to me as if CIA insiders knew enough about what was going on, but chose to make money rather than blowing the whistle.
He literally watched the plane go into the building, into the World Trade Center. Amazing story. That alone is an amazing story. He was delayed because his wife insisted that he finally, after years, take his child to school.
Recently, taking the economic wheel on the Trump administration's second term, Lutnick publicly championed and defended the tariffs as essential for national security and economic rebalancing, dismissing concerns about their legality or economic fallout, calling worries about Supreme Court invalidation silly.
In the very unlikely event that you're wrong, what is the contingency plan? You'd have to refund these tariffs? How the hell does that work?
You know, to think about silly things is a waste of time.
The mechanism offered companies an upfront payment of 20 to 30% of the duties paid in exchange for assigning their legal claim to any refund, effectively a litigation finance.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheologyShowStore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks, and you gotta get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. Obviously, we're tracking what's going on in Iran. And just moments ago, it looks like the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke in regards to the attacks that were carried out over the weekend. Let's take a listen.
I've said for many years that they threaten not only Israel and not only America. They chant death to Israel, death to America. That's their ultimate target. But I said that they would also target those in between, that they would target Europe. They did. And if this regime, this terrorist regime of the kind we've never seen in the world, if they get nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them, ballistic missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, they will threaten all of humanity. So we set out to protect ourselves, but in so doing, we protect many others. And I want to say special thanks to our great friend and a great leader of the world, Donald Trump, for joining us in this crucial effort to save the world.
Yeah, those are the claims being made by the Israeli Prime Minister. Folks, later on in the show, we're going to be taking your calls probably in about, I'd say we'll start diving into the call list in about 5 to 10 minutes. If you want to join the program, you're welcome to do just that. We want to hear from our veterans, though, first up on the call list. So if you're a vet and you want to sound off or talk about what's going on right now, you are the experts. We want to hear from you, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. It's a number to call into. We want to give you the opportunity to speak your piece and talk about what is actually underway right now. Now, many are obviously very upset here in the United States about what we saw be carried out. I mean, so many people did not want this to happen, and rightfully so. Although, you know, the Prime Minister of Israel for many, many years now has been outlining this looming threat that we in the United States and obviously for the rest of the world are dealing with potentially a nuclear threat in Iran, one that would be absolutely devastating. They haven't really presented any evidence of that. And this has been something that's been dragged on for years now. So many are wondering, well, why the heck now? Why was this weekend the weekend to carry this attack out? Well, it's not just us. Even individuals like Eric Prince are speaking out on the subject matter. And he's actually very, very critical, which you hear, well, you rarely kind of hear him talk about it like that. Let's listen to clip 7. All right, we're going to fix that and get right back to it in just a little bit. Looks like we're having a bit of an audio issue with that clip. But once it's up and ready, we'll bring it straight back to you. But folks, it's not just that. There are so many things going on all around the country right now that have a lot of people fired up, and rightfully so, because, again, when the American people voted for President Trump, we voted for no new wars. That was something that all of us pretty much were on board for, unless, of course, you're like Lindsey Graham or one of the other warmongers. It's been pretty infuriating to sit back and watch. And I've been trying to not insert my opinion in all of this and watch all the information comes out. But even after the press conference that we saw with Pete Hegseth over at the Secretary of War, he was leading this press conference and detailing what he is seeing right now. And it's obviously, well, they're not really giving us much in the way of information as to why this was so urgent to have carried out right now. We obviously know, we've heard the certain individuals like Benjamin Netanyahu tell us that Iran is a threat. And again, a lot of us just want to know, why was this so urgent to be carried out right now? The timeline, it seems to be an issue. DHS obviously dealing with the partial shutdown. We have over 90% of the sleeper cells that were let into the country by the Biden regime still here, according to the stats they've put out so far. So again, we've never been more vulnerable as a country. And we want to be prepared. I mean, that's the key issue here. I know, you know, I was on over the weekend with Alex. We were talking about all of this. It's not about creating a level of fear amongst the American people. It's about preparing them for what might actually happen. And the reality of it is yeah, you have every reason to want to know what might actually happen. Our federal government may have not had to carry this out. I don't think they did. I don't think there was any reason for this. We haven't seen a reason be issued to the American people. And so they continue to sit out here and tell us that Iran's a threat, but they've been a threat for years now. Four Americans so far have lost their lives, four U.S. service members, and there needs to be an explanation for that. You know, I listened to the president's remarks, and he's about to issue another round of remarks in about 22 minutes. We'll be taking that live once he does go live. But the president has, for quite some time now, issued a lot of warnings to Iran. And again, I understand that you have to be strong with Iran. I know that Iran's obviously not an ally of ours, but we're getting swept in to what Israel wanted for quite some time. And I've been warning you all, we sat back and we watched as Benjamin Netanyahu just a couple of days ago made his way to the White House. And it was strange to me, and I told you it was strange, because I saw him on the president's schedule, but we didn't see any photos. You and I both know whenever there's like a world leader that makes his way into the White House, I mean, you see a ton of videos, photos, but we didn't see that. We didn't see that. And so right now, most Americans are sitting and standing by and obviously very, very fearful as to what might come of all of this. Well, I usually turn to, you know, Charlie Kirk has a lot of great sound bites that he thankfully still has on the internet right now. And, you know, he's someone who, it breaks my heart, obviously, that he's no longer with us, because he was a rational person, a very rational person, probably someone who would have talked President Trump off of the ledge in regards to striking Iran. How do we know this? Well, in clip 8, you're going to hear from him directly as to how he feels about potential regime change in Iran. Take a listen.
Going to take out the Ayatollah. Oh, really? What comes next? What comes after regime change? Might be, oh, well, we need a small number of U.S. troops to support the new regime. We have seen this play before. Regime change, you have no idea how this is going to work out. You have no idea.
You have no idea. And that's the reality of it, folks. You have absolutely no idea how this regime change will go. And so, yes, we have every right to be concerned. It's not, from what we could see so far, it does not appear to be in America's best interest. Now, again, of course, they're going to say this is classified information, so they can't tell us about it. But the American people need answers, and we hope that President Trump in the next 20 minutes does begin to give us some answers, because we cannot sit here and listen to what we've heard before in the Bush era, that there was a threat and that we had to strike. I think that's really important that we understand what exactly is going on here. All right, let's get to some callers. I want to hear from our vets, of course. I told you all to call in if you're a veteran and you'd like to discuss this issue. You are the ones I want to hear about. I want to hear your opinions. Again, the number's on your screen right now, 877-789-2539 is the number to call into. Let's get to our first caller, Neil in Oklahoma. Welcome to the show.
Hey, ma'am, can you hear me okay?
I can. Welcome to the program.
Ma'am, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I'm a former paratrooper from 3rd Brigade Combat Team of the United States Army 82nd Airborne Division. I was a supply logistics specialist in the United States Army. I handled supply. I made sure that infantrymen had every bit of gear they needed to fight in a combat situation, from motors to weapons parts, the whole nine yards. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to listen to me carefully. Right now, as we speak, logistics is what you need to look at. Logistics is what wins wars. You need to be stocking up on not just food and water, but intel, medical, down to the last box of acetaminophen. You need to keep a Bible, a ranger handbook, a sniper's hand manual, any and all first aid and bushcraft books you can get your hands on. You need to get your hands on comms, such as sat phones, Bofang radios, a spare cell phone, solar power bank, tablet, laptop, batteries, Faraday cage. You need to stock up on gas, wood, ammo, weapons, bows and blades included. High content alcohol, clear liquor, which will help clean wounds in a very emergency situation. Look up what goes in IFAC. Check out Bear Independent Medical, One Shepherd, Badlands Tactical. Sit down and listen to vets and ask questions. Vets, I speak directly to you. Now is the time to consolidate, congregate, communicate, and train with the civilian population. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to have a VPN. A man told you on this program that you need to have a minimum of $500. No, you need to have a minimum of $2,000 in a safe ready to go. You need to invest in gold and silver and precious metals. You need to train, communicate and train some more. But most importantly, this comes from a former Norse pagan. You need to convert to Christ, repent and rebuke your sins, and arise above the ashes as the phoenix you all are. To the sheriffs, police department, National Guard, and reservists on standby in every major city, be ready. Stay calm, be alert. This is only just starting. Remember, God is the Almighty, Christ is King. Stay away from government-issued MREs. They contain vet drugs and neurotoxins. Invest in all dry good foods that you can. Pet owners, invest in meds and dry food while you can. Study up on what is safe and dangerous to feed your animals when it comes to human food. Carry a rifle, body armor, medical, and a minimum of 4 to 5 mags in your vehicle at all times. Carry a pistol on you at all times. Remain vigilant, not paranoid. Be ready, but most importantly, maintain a gray man target. Be prepared for emergency response systems to be hit with a cyber attack. Remember, these people have obtained police uniforms, have access to ERs and hospitals, police and sheriff, National Guard and Reserve stations alike. If and when this attack does happen, it will hit all of you, hospitals, schools, banks, substations, water plants. All of you are prime targets in the eyes of these people. Please remember to not be afraid, folks, but be alert and vigilant. Stick together and communicate. That is all I have.
Well, thank you for calling and thank you for your service. We're honored to have you in the program today, and thank you for arming our audience with the intel that they need to make sure that their loved ones and themselves are safe through all of this. So thank you so much. Let's turn to Lee. Lee, welcome. Lee, it's from my understanding you're a former Marine and you wanted to join our show to give us some insight on all of this. What is on your mind?
Hi, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call. I think there's some insight that people are missing when it comes to Iran. They're out of water. Their reservoirs are dry. Their wells are dry. At times when they are able to get any water through their system, it's coming out usually black or brown, and then it clears out. But they get in trouble for running that much water. It's so bad there. And so I think what's going on here with this decapitation strike is that entire country, anywhere from 10 million to 40 million or more people are out of water, and it's going to turn into a civil war. That's the main reason I think the Iranians were protesting. We're talking about their economy going down, you know, down the tubes. Their currency is worthless, and then they're out of water. They're ripe for a civil war. And so we are just taking the not only the nuclear weapons out of the equation, we're also taking out the people who caused all of this. Their wells are dry. The reservoirs are empty because of certain civil projects that the IRGC put into place years ago. And it's because of those that they've created this situation. So just take the evil out of the equation, which is what has been happening in Iran since 1979. I've watched this entire thing play out since I was a child. I was 9 years old when they took over the embassy. There's a lot of Marines right now. They're very happy because Mamgani or Kamani, he was involved in that. Mm-hmm. So it was the right thing to do. Let the Iranian people figure it out. We can help them out when it comes to getting water to them. But they need to decide what their government's going to be. We're just standing here on the outside taking out the main entity. And the biggest problem is these people who created that situation with their hands on nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Lee, I think you're spot on that. And thank you for your service. And thank you for calling in for that. It's something definitely to keep our eye on, of course. And we want to hear from you veterans. So the lines are open for vets to call in right now. Then we'll go to opinion, of course, afterwards. 877. This is the number on your screen right now. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into. Lee, thank you for that. We greatly appreciate it. We also have another individual on our line. Blue Falcon is the name that I've been given. Blue Falcon, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Brianna?
Good. How are you?
I'm just doing well. I can't believe what we have going on in our world right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough to say.
And I know my men are fighting, and I used to sit there and patch them up. But Godspeed, don't stop. And God damn it, we better fucking win this. Otherwise, we're done. That's it. Please send that to Trump. I don't fucking care. Send it to Greg Abbott. Tell Greg Abbott to stand down. We need Doc Chambers in there. Period. You're done, bro. You're too country club. We need some balls.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm out.
Blue Falcon, thank you for calling to the show. Yeah, I mean, it's really frustrating here in Texas because, and thank you for your service, my friend. I appreciate your call today. It's really frustrating sitting back and watching because, well, in Texas, it's been going on for years now. Greg Abbott's trying to take credit for making EPIC, which is the East Plano Islamic Center, change their name to The Meadow. And he's trying to take full credit for it, but that's not the case. He did not play a role in that. Christian conservatives here in Texas did. I was there for the hearing. They flooded the courtroom when their hearing was taking place. They were outraged. They were enraged. They were making it well known that they didn't want that land that was purchased to be developed on. That's the individuals who are responsible for that. Greg Abbott's been absolutely useless. He's well-funded, though. This is the problem. And there's really no challengers who try to. I know everyone's pushing for Chambers, I believe his name is, Doc Chambers, if I'm not mistaken. I know everyone's pushing for that. But, you know, it's really frustrating because Greg Abbott's such a bad, bad governor in the sense that he doesn't do anything and he allows all this to go down without any pushback. And so right now, Texans are dealing with a harsh reality. This has been going on for years now that these LLCs, which are Chinese or they pretend to be Christian or they pretend to sound like they're an actual business, come in, purchase up land, old churches, old buildings, and then they transfer it over to Islamists and the names quickly change very, very quickly. And there's nothing that we could do as people to prevent this from happening. This has been going on for far too long and people like Greg Abbott have refused to do anything about it because they were too worried about pissing off Muslim Americans in this country. And so they stood on the sidelines and now that it's polling well, they're stepping in on this issue and they're pretending to be the heroes that we need, but it's far too late. And it's the reason why, sadly, I mean, you know, I was just having a conversation. I've got to get out of here. I mean, DFW has been overtaken over the last 2 years. 24 mosques have gone up. That's not even including the Islamist centers that are in the area. I mean, we are surrounded. We are surrounded. And when we're talking about these sleeper cells, these suspected and known terrorists that were let in, I have a bad feeling that our own federal government can't find them. And when you can't find them, it's probably likely that they're hiding out in places that those would deem, if you consider Islam a religious, if you consider Islam as a religion, you wouldn't be able to go into the mosque and other places to be able to get a hold of these people. And so it's very likely that possibly they're there. Again, I don't have any insight on that specifically, but our own federal government has surrendered. Our local government has surrendered. And over the last couple of years, there's been we have 330 mosques in Texas so far. All of our major cities here are surrounded. And if you're wondering why, well, obviously, we have a lot of energy facilities. That's what Greg Abbott calls it, energy facilities. And so those energy facilities now have seen a step up in security over these last few hours because, well, Greg Abbott knows that they're hot targets. And that is likely the reason why we've seen all these mosques going up in Houston, in Austin, in Dallas, and other places throughout Texas. And so truly no surprise there. But yeah, I'm with you on that. It's a truly infuriating that we are dealing with this right now, but this is what we've been warning about. Amy Mack is one of the only individuals who has been on this from day one. She's been in this fight for years now, over a decade, warning those in Europe when it was too late for Europe. She started warning Americans, it's happening here. She was watching and people call it fear-mongering. People got really upset about this. People call all different names, but she's been watching what they're saying inside of their I guess you'd say their speeches that they give. And, it's really bad. It's really bad, folks. We're hopeful that nothing will happen on the homeland, but we're prepared for the very worst. And I think that's where we stand on this issue. That's where I stand. And that's the reason why it's not fear mongering. It's meant to tell our audience what we think could possibly happen and what we're hearing from our friends who are currently within the federal government. They're trying their best to protect the homeland. And we're trying to pass that information on to you, the American people. I want to get to our next caller. Let's welcome back in Savage Dog, who is obviously a regular on this show. Savage Dog, it's an honor to have you on. And as always, thank you for your service, my friend.
Hey, thank, hey, good morning, Brianna. I'm going to change up a little bit. For Simplify Lee, my brother, Marine, he said it pretty well. And then the first caller, supply guy in the Army. Yeah, logistics, I was a radio tech, comms and supply, man, you don't fight a war without comms and bullets. So, all respect to my my grunts out there, but it takes a team. Speaking of team, I want to say you're sweating DHS being downsized or underfunded. But look, my DHS team is sitting right by my bed, and I'll go ahead and call them by their code names: Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson, Mr. Colt, Mr. Mossberg.
you know, okay, DHS is out of commission. They won't be able to catch them. Well, okay, catch them in the act and send them to their 72 Virginians. You know, stay frosty, stay strapped, and make sure you protect the homeland. You're the militia. All of you, you're the militia. Act like it. You don't have to swear an oath. You know, you're it's your job. And as far as the, I think he was an airman, by his call sign, you know, said that he sewed up a lot of his brothers and sisters, you know, and calling out, quote, Governor Abbott, you know, it sucks. And I was a contractor in Iraq and in Fallujah. And you didn't fly helicopters during the day unless you had a medical emergency. And I saw helicopters flying out of our medical center, or, you know, our clinical, whatever you want to call it, mass unit, a few times, and I knew what was on that chopper. And so I get his tears and I get his frustration. But this is the thing. You don't fight because you hate who's in front of you, but because you love who's behind you. And if we don't get this done now, there's no telling what'll happen in the future with Iran. They've shown, like we got, 200 something of my brothers killed in Beirut in 83, because of Iran. You know, just so much because of Iran. We take out Iran, we might have a huge Christian nation smack dab in the middle of the caliphate. And that would be a bigger ally than Israel, who I think the Israeli government hates Christians. There's so much good that would happen out of this. There is no downside. Well, yeah, but we're just doing Israel's bidding. Look, if someone I don't like has the same exact goal as I do, enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to not do something because I'm a petulant child and I don't like who's on my side. You know, we fought the Germans alongside the Soviets. You just sometimes got to do what you got to do. And I think this is a righteous war. I think this is I think it was a brilliant strategy. I didn't even know until Anna, your guest, said that, you know, we followed Israel into this. Therefore, it's a treaty and not an overt act by the president. Therefore, we don't need to declare war. We're just helping Israel. That's fifth dimensional chess. You know, everybody's like, well, Trump's fifth dimensional chess on every single thing. You're just a retard if you think everything he does is brilliant or whatever. This was brilliant. Congress can't stop it. I think we're gonna be there till the job's done. I think Iran has lost its mind, essentially, you know, bombing every single nation around it. What the hell are they thinking? We're gonna hit Dubai. We're gonna hit Saudi Arabia. We're gonna take out it.
Savage dog. We're about to hit a hard commercial break right now. I didn't want to cut you off there, but no, you're 1,000% right. We're all wondering what the hell they.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Savage Dog still online and Blue Falcon as well. Blue Falcon calling back and wanted to respond to Savage Dog. So I'll give you guys the next 4 minutes to chat it out. Blue Falcon, you're first.
Yeah, I very much appreciate the supply guy and everything else. But there's a thing that you call, which is the people in the rear have the gear. The people at the front deal something. Wherever the metal meets the meat. And that's what's going on. If you don't get it, that's it. This is an alpha strike. This is a Blue Falcon calling everywhere. This is it. I don't know what else to say.
Savage Dog, I'll let you respond.
I'm not real sure what I'm responding to. Are you saying I was being a grunt and saying you guys suck? No, I was in the rear with gear too. I was fixing the gear. I was fixing their Singars radios and make sure they could communicate. And you're out there
to help
make sure they had rounds to fire downrange.
can I speak or is that cool?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. 90 seconds.
I very much appreciate you guys. You guys kept us where we needed to be. However, it's time to take the fucking pants off. This is fucking it, bro.
We're on radio too, so let's not curse too much.
I'm very sorry. Excuse my superlatives. I'm doing my best to stay away from it, even though I have a Juris Doctorate, and apparently I'm educated. But it's time to roll.
All right, Savage Dog, Blue Falcon, thank you both gentlemen for calling back in and staying on the lines. I appreciate just that. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. We're waiting to hear President Trump speak. We're expecting that call to begin, or I guess that speech to begin in just a few moments. We are assuming that he's going to talk about Iran, but there was something on the books on his schedule for today. So we're kind of just standing by and waiting to see what the president is going to be saying in just a few moments. So we'll stay put there. We also have Robert Spencer joining the program as well. And then once we finish with Robert Spencer, we'll get back to the lines. I know there's a couple more vets on the lines right now who would like to join the program as well. So we look forward to hearing from them as well. All right, folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have just for a limited time, so a couple more hours left over at thealexjonesstore.com. We've got our sale going on right now. It is BOGO. So when you buy creatine powder. You get a free bottle of the sea moss gummies or the Sri Legit gummies. Okay, that's an or. So you got to head on over to the shop. We got a couple more hours left in that sale. Also, it's 25% off apparel as well. That is 25% off apparel that includes hats, t-shirts, and hoodies. 25% off. That sale now ends on Wednesday. So again, BOGO ends in just a few hours. And then the hats, hoodies, and t-shirts sale, it's 25% off. That ends on Wednesday as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We greatly appreciate when you do and you support us here on InfoWars. We are very honored for that. And every time you can purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, it helps us with our very next project. So you are supporting us and our efforts to keep the information war coming. All right. So we got a lot more to discuss. Again, like I mentioned, Robert Spencer will be joining the program in just a bit. He is the individual behind Jihad Watch. He's putting out all this really important information that the American people need to say. We'll also jump back to the callers as well. And we're waiting to hear from President Trump in regards to Iran. And he's got quite the busy schedule today as well. So we're expecting to hear from him in a moment. In the meantime, though, again, make sure you download the app. AlexJonesApp.com is the best place to go to make sure you can download that app. We'll be right back in just a moment.
The widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here. We're waiting for President Donald Trump to begin speaking. He's expecting to make his way any second now. He's a little behind. We're about 7 minutes late. So when we see him, we'll bring you straight there so you can hear what the president has to say in regards to Iran. We're also going to be speaking with Robert Spencer in this hour of the program as well. But we've got some callers on the line too. So we might as well dive into that first since that's going on right now. We've got some great vets who have called in. And if you'd like to call into the show, of course, you are welcome. I want to hear from our vets first and hear what's on their minds. So let's turn to Jim in Montana first. Jim, welcome to the show.
Odd man out. But as far as I'm concerned, I think our Middle East foreign policy has been co-opted by the Israelis with Trump. And I kind of disagree with the lady you had on that said that we let Israel strike first. We have 60% of our deployable people in the Middle East. If we weren't there, Israel would not have struck. 95% of our Congress has taken money from APAC. I'm just curious as to every time Bibi comes to town, we end up bombing somebody that he wants taken out. Our guys are, and I feel so sorry for our guys that are put in harm's way for Israel. And, sorry, I guess I'm odd man out, but I think we should be filling, taking care of our country, not the Middle East.
And that's just the way I feel. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Jim, thanks for calling and thank you for your service. I mean, you're not alone in that. I know a lot of us are really upset by this. And every time we do these things, I mean, all it creates is a new influx of refugees, what they call them. And so, the rest of us are out here trying to figure it out and trying to figure out what's going on and why we're continuously having to do this. So, you're not alone. You're definitely not alone, when it comes to all of this. And so, a lot of Americans are wondering, why are we doing this? Why are we putting up with this? And so, Jim, thank you for calling. No, I appreciate all different, you know, insights on the issue. I think that's really, really important that we hear from the people and everyone gives their opinions. And so that's the reason why we're taking these calls. So, Jim, thank you for calling into the show. It is an honor to have you on. In California, I hear Baker in California would like to join our program. He's not a veteran, but he's somebody who would like to discuss Iran. Baker, welcome to the show.
Yo, okay, listen, I don't want to hear anymore about Iran being the biggest state sponsor of terrorism and all this. We have literally been running intelligence operations and proxy Islamic groups for decades. We destabilized the whole region. We overthrew Saddam, which created a vacuum for al-Qaeda, and then that's why you get a 20-year insurgency. It's like, listen, we sit here and go, oh, what has Iran done? Is Iran the reason we were in there for 20-plus years? Is Iran the reason we're bankrupt? Is Iran the reason terrorism? The war on terrorism is a lie. It was a lie. It's always been a lie. All we're doing, okay, by killing Khamenei, you know who's going to take power? Some crazier dude. That's why do you think there's missiles being launched at civilians? Because there's other psychos. Like, the way that we're going about this is not good. This is not going to turn out the way of some 5D Trump chess move. I mean, if Iran is evil for having Hezbollah and Houthis, then what are we? We literally back the Islamic State. We literally helped essentially create al-Qaeda in the 80s. We've been running intelligence operations and networks in all these places. There are dudes. We've backed some of the worst elements of the Sunni theocratic caliphate. The Muslim Brotherhood was founded by a British trading company. They built the headquarters in Egypt. I mean, it's evil. We're a part of this game. And I thought Trump was going to dismantle it. I thought he was the chosen one. He was said to destroy the Sith, not join him. But now he's gone full Darth Vader. And I don't know what we're going to do. Because this conversation that we're having is a part of their little game, and they're laughing at us. They're going, you know, so it's just, we're not, what freedom are we going to bring? What are the Iranian people going to rise up against all the different factions in there that have control? No, they're not going to do that. They're probably going to get squashed. So, and then we're going to have to go in there and back them up. It's going to be the same thing. Like, because Trump, okay, I like Trump, but even him saying the Iraq war, oh, well, it was dumb. No, it wasn't dumb. It was by design. Saddam, say what you want about him, but he was giving the people booze and food and a job and television. And when we overthrow him, we knew that it would let al-Qaeda in. We knew it because there are dudes. There are dudes. You get the Islamic State of Iraq from that. Then you get ISIS from that with Obama and Hillary. So we have to decide, what are we going to do? I'm not a veteran. I respect veterans. But a lot of you, just because you're a veteran doesn't mean you have, like, this insight. It means you bought into the crap. And I'm sorry, you're courageous. You've risked your life. But we have to have the total 30,000-foot view, and this is a disaster, dude. This isn't going to be – I mean, Iran, you know what I mean? Iran has been fighting the Taliban for decades. They've been fighting al-Qaeda and ISIS. They fight against these groups. So all we're doing is destabilizing this. What's the plan? Like, what's the long-term plan? You know what I mean? So, sorry, I don't like, yeah, okay, we can sit here and say Iran's bad, but why are they bad? If they're bad, then what are we? Because we've backed some of the worst groups. Dude, you know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy. I don't get it. And if this is all mainline information. But what happens is it turns into a factoid. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's not a factoid. It's like, it's all bullcrap, dude. And everyone knows this. So, I don't know. I think we're screwed. I think Trump went full Vader. I mean, because now the British love this because they're not talking about, you know, I don't know, what's Prince Andrew doing? Why was he with a toddler? They're not talking about that anymore.
So Trump is playing into their hands. This is the same people that are willing to poison our food and water and our medicine, and it's all one big ritual. This is bad, dude. So I don't know, maybe Trump's 5G chess, whatever. But he's going to be out of office, and then who's going to take over? Someone worse? So that's all I got to say. I'm kind of done with it.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah,
you're not alone. I mean, a lot of us, and there are a lot of truths in that too. I mean, we are the ones to blame for a lot of the jihad threat that we constantly talk about, and those who were the ones who were the creators behind it don't want to take any responsibility for it. So Baker, you're right there, and I appreciate all that our vets do and how they try to defend the homeland. And yes, they've been lied to, and it's really heartbreaking that they have. But Baker, I want to thank you for calling into the show and sounding off and stating your opinion on Iran. We appreciate you doing just that. B.O. Wolf in Arizona is also on the lines. I want to get to him next. I also want to remind our audience we're keeping our eye right now on President Trump. He's expected to deliver remarks regarding Iran at the Medal of Honor ceremony that's underway at the White House right now. So, Wolf, I'll let you take it away from here.
Okay, great. Thank you for your time, Beth. Thank you. I appreciate your time and your service. I didn't have the honor of taking that. Brianna, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
I had a stupid motorcycle accident. And by the way, the tincture, the turmeric tincture helped with the swelling and the pain. Thank you for that. Just ever since we attacked Iran, we didn't even go to church yesterday because I said, no, we're not going to do that. Right. And then Representative, you complain about Representative Gonzalez in, what is it, District 31 in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
32?
I think it's 21. Yeah, I have to look it up.
Yeah, okay. You should get Brandon Herrera on. He's running against him.
Yeah, I reached out to him and asked him to come on the show. He did not respond back.
Oh, that donut. Okay. Well, okay, that's what I wanted to talk about. Okay. All right. Well, otherwise, go back to Trump. Appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I hope you're okay after your accident, but I hope you're doing well, and I appreciate you staying on hold. Yeah, we reached out to Brandon. I have not heard back. I've actually reached out to him twice, so that's very unfortunate, and we wish him the best in his race, of course. And again, I believe Tuesday, tomorrow is the last day to vote. So if you live in it's Congressional District 23 in Texas. That is the one you're going to want to make sure to weigh in on. Just get Tony Gonzalez out of there. He's just awful. You know, personal stuff I usually don't like to weigh in on people's personal lives. You know, I'll let his wife and God handle him later on that front. But he is not good for Texans. He's been lying to Texans, and that's something that we cannot tolerate. So that's where I stand on that one. Folks, if you want to join the show, of course, we've got the number for you guys to call into. Make sure you do just that. It's 877-789-253. And I want to get to our next caller. Tom is on the line right now. Tom, I believe. Oh, Robert's ready. Okay, let's go to Robert Spencer. Tom, hold right there. Don't go anywhere. We're going to go right back to you. Robert Spencer was supposed to come on the show with us, and we had a little bit of a technical glitch, and so we've got him all cleared and ready to go. Robert, I want to thank you for being here today. You do an incredible job, as always, on jihadwatch.org, breaking down the threat that is Islam and what's been popping up all across the world. And so we're honored to have you on the show today, as always. Again, he's the founder of Jihad Watch. You could find him at jihadwatch.org. You know, I just want to hear your takeaway of all of this. You know, we're waiting for President Trump to begin speaking right now on Iran. He's expected to do so at the Medal of Honor ceremony right now at the White House. So that will begin any second. But what we've seen in the last few hours take place in Iran, the supreme leader has now been officially killed. Your thoughts on what's unraveled?
Well, of course, it's world historical. It will change the Middle East and the entire world, likely for the better. If the Islamic Republic falls, we have to not get ahead of our skis here. The Islamic Republic is still in power. They will likely choose another supreme leader and try to go on. But it's going to be extremely difficult in light of the fact that the U.S. and Israel continue to attack and are prepared to prolong this as much as necessary. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, has said this is not a war for regime change. But I think there is also clearly a realistic awareness in Washington that Iran, as the Islamic Republic, is going to continue to threaten the world as long as it continues to exist. He has called upon the Iranian people to overthrow the regime. Now is their big chance. It's certainly going to be difficult. The Iranian regime still has all the guns, all the power. But with the attacks on the regime coming from the U.S. and Israel, there is a chance that a lot of the people in the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps and other pro-regime entities are going to see this is, it's no longer tenable. They can't sustain the regime. They should stop making war on their own people and start switching sides. We have seen this before historically, and that's what we should be hoping for now.
And Robert, I want to get to what, you know, you just alluded to. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth held a press conference a couple of hours ago, and he detailed why he believes we're there now, and we're obviously not boots on the ground, but we are working with Israel on strikes in Iran, and obviously over 40 plus of their top leaders, the regime's top military leaders, have been, as the IDF says, eliminated. I want to hear your reaction to this, because you've just recently put up a piece as well, and you cite that Iran is responsible for at least 869 U.S. military personnel being killed, and that's in about a 50-year span. And that's something that Pete Hegseth was also talking about, as to all the innocent men and women who have been killed by the Iranian regime. Can you break that down for our audience to help us understand the back history in all of this?
Yeah, Hegseth said it very well. He said, we did not start this war, but we will finish it. And this is extremely important, because I think that the left is trying to make out as if the Ayatollah Khamenei was innocently tending his garden and suddenly the bombs start falling. And nothing could be further from the truth. We have to remember that the Islamic Republic of Iran has been on a war footing against the United States since its inception in 1979. There was the Iranian hostage crisis. There was the bombing of the Beirut barracks, in which 243 U.S. service members were brutally murdered. And that was by Hezbollah, which is a wholly owned and operated subsidiary of the Islamic Republic of Iran. As you noted, the Islamic Republic has been responsible for the deaths of over 600 other American service members. And Khamenei said not long ago, and he has reiterated as well, that death to America, which they chant routinely, is not just a slogan. It is a policy. It was the motive, the method, the goal of their entire regime. And so this regime was a real threat to the United States. The left is not being honest about this. They have sent assassination squads to the United States to murder an Iranian dissident in New York, Masih Alinejad, and a Saudi diplomat in Washington. They have sleeper cells inside the United States, as the U.S. intelligence community has acknowledged. This is a malign actor that is actively hostile to the United States and has acted against American interests in numerous arenas, both in the United States and elsewhere. The attack, the aggression, has all been on their side. As Hegseth said, all we're doing now is ending this war.
Yeah, and I want to get to that, too, because he also added a couple other things. I know that there was a Daily Wire reporter in the room who asked Hegseth specifically about the sleeper cell issue, and he says that we're prepared if that is the case. And I've been breaking down the numbers that I've been given by DHS, and it looks like so far, based on the numbers, if you combine them with national intelligence, what they've put out there, Joe Kent, what he's put out there, and you break down the numbers what DHS is officially giving me, it looks like they've only rounded up about 7.8% of those known and suspected terrorists that were released into the country by the Biden regime. Are you concerned as to a potential attack here on the homeland?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. It's a very severe threat. This is something that has gone on for years. I wrote a book called Stealth Jihad in 2008 about nonviolent efforts to spread Sharia in the United States, and noted some sleeper cell activity there, where Hezbollah cells were communicating with one another, according to the FBI, and saying now is not the time to carry out terrorist attacks because we're getting everything we want to achieve by nonviolent means. Now the situation has changed. And we just saw in Austin, Texas yesterday, a violent attack by somebody who was clearly a sympathizer of the Iranian regime. He had an undershirt that had slogans or symbols. It's not clear from what's been announced, but certainly something making it very clear underneath his Property of Allah sweatshirt that he was aligned with the Islamic Republic of Iran, that this was a revenge attack for the killing of Khamenei. And this is very likely not the only one. Now, we have to note, this is not a guy from Iran. The shooter in Texas was from Senegal. And yet he is a sympathizer and a jihadi, a sympathizer with the Iranian regime. So we have to not only be aware of Iranian migrants in the United States, certainly who've been improperly vetted during the Biden and Obama years, as well as other Muslims who are inclined to jihad terrorism and sympathetic to the Iranians who are in the United States right now. And insufficient attention has been paid to them because of the woke, politically correct fictions about Islam being a religion of peace. Well, the rubber's hitting the road now. It's time to end all this willful ignorance and delusion and look at these people with very extremely detailed and careful scrutiny before more Americans get killed.
Yeah, and Robert, you know, we have been told by so many Rhino Republicans that they stand for legal immigration, not illegal immigration. And this is an individual who was a legal immigrant, that he was able to make his way into the country, and he was legalized under the Obama years. And he's been here since 2000, actually. So he's been on U.S. soil for quite some time. Now, I found his social media pages. It's kind of hard to tell. Looks like it's him. It's his full first and last name, but it's very, very hard to tell whether or not it truly is him. That's why I've withheld a lot of the information, but it does look to be possibly him. I know prior to the shooting, he was posting photos of the Supreme Leader, but he was also kind of had like this uplifting community spirit on his social media, his Instagram and TikTok page, which again was quite strange. But this is someone, Robert, who came to our country legally. He was able to make his way into our system legally. What is the threat there? Because we've been told to focus on the illegal aliens, and we weren't told to, well, I mean, we knew about it, but we were told that legal immigration is perfectly okay.
Yeah, Brianna, this is a classic example of the weakness of our whole immigration system, because they say all these people are properly vetted. They went through all these, jumped through all these hoops, and they were subject to all this scrutiny and testing. Well, the fact is that in October 2010, the Obama administration got a letter from 57 Muslim organizations demanding that all mention of Islam be removed from counterterror training. And John Brennan immediately wrote back saying, yes, we'll do it. And so what that means is that since 2010, 16 years now, we have not had agents trained to have any knowledge of Islam or jihad, while Islamic jihadis are trying to get into the United States and kill Americans. And so how are they going to vet for a threat they don't even admit exists? How are they going to vet for a threat that they know nothing about? And this is the fatal weakness of the legal immigration that you're talking about. There's any number of jihadis who sailed right in and jumped through all the hoops and filled out all the forms and took all the tests, and they're totally certified as perfectly safe, and they are total 100% hardcore jihadis, because the United States government has been derelict in its duty to understand the jihad threat and deal with it adequately.
Yeah, and Robert, that's the big issue here, is that we have so many cowards. I mean, here in the state of Texas, so many cowards. I know you've done incredible work at trying to ring the alarms about all of this for decades now. I know Amy Meck, and also an ally in this fight, has been doing a great work. And so many were too afraid to maybe use some words that a lot of these Muslims didn't like to hear, and they bowed out of this. But we have people like Greg Abbott now trying to pretend like he's in this fight. We got about 90 seconds. I'll let you have these 90 seconds, though. Greg Abbott now all of a sudden has to guard our energy facilities here in Texas. That's what the term that they're using. I'm referring to probably all where all of our oil is stored and all our oil tankers, and obviously is what he's referring to here. What could possibly be the threat there?
Well, you've got jihadis trying to hit the pressure points where we're most vulnerable. And so we have had attacks on the energy grid for years that have been completely covered up, that have not been related to jihad terrorism, but it only stands to reason, given the communications that we've seen from the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, and other organizations that are dedicated to destroying the United States, that they would target exactly those facilities. And so when I see these endless attacks on the energy grid and on our oil supplies, on the water supplies, on things of this kind, This is exactly in line with what we see jihad groups calling for. And so Abbott is, yeah, you're right. He's trying to make it look as if he's taking a tough stance against Sharia without taking a tough stance against Sharia. And that's ultimately not going to work. He's going to have to, like all the other governors in the United States, confront this threat because it's going to confront him.
Robert Spencer does a great job of breaking all of this down. He's wrote, I think, at least 2 dozen books, Robert, and they're all available on Amazon right now. Make sure you head on over there, and he will help you understand the issue, the Islamic threat that is here right now in the United States. Robert Spencer, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, the depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke, fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free. That's a $35 value. Absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot and show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine, Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, a systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks. And you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? 6 facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight. And it funds the operation. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsors said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus. Classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I get the concept, great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. Takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board right now. We got our eyes on the White House. Susie Wiles has just walked into the room. Trump is expected to deliver remarks regarding Iran. And he's also expected to participate in the Medal of Honor ceremony happening today. So we will bring it to you once he begins to speak. But Susie Wiles has just walked in, so we're expecting to see the president hopefully in just a few moments. He's also just posted a clip to Twitter, it looks like. We're running that right now. We'll have it to you in just a few moments. We're also going to be trying to dive into callers for the final couple of minutes left in the show. Obviously, we want to hear from you all. So let's go to our first one. And again, I want to just remind our audience, when President Trump speaks, we're just going to go straight to that. So for those of you on the hold, just keep that in mind. I will have to interrupt and bring you straight there because I want to see what the president has to say about Iran. Let's go to our first caller right now. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Tom, welcome to the show. I hear you've served in our Navy, so thank you for your service.
I'm what's called a sea being. By the way, that fella that called earlier that called himself Blue Falcon, that's not a good term. If I was going to say he's an effer, you know what I mean by effer? Blue Falcon stands for buddy effer. It's a guy that walk in and get into your foxhole, take a poop in it while you was gone fighting at the front. When you come back, your foxhole's full of his poop. Don't trust people that call themselves a Blue Falcon, little lady. They ain't worth it. As far as the Iran thing, this has been going on since I joined the military. And, well, it ain't never going to get solved until we just get shed of them all. And a lot of people complain about President Trump. Have you ever heard the old saying to give somebody enough rope and they'll either hang themselves or pull themselves out? I do believe that President Trump is doing just that with a bunch of people. You just got to be patient. That's all I really got to say about him.
Well, Tom, I like your sense of optimism, and we're watching right now as President Trump is probably going to walk in any second now deliver.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. And thank you for helping me understand that. See, this is why I rely on you guys all at home when you call into the show. We're not afraid of taking callers, but you guys could stiff them out for me and let me know. That's why we love our vets so much. And Tom, thank you for your service and thank you for joining. We'll get the shot up right now of what's going on right now at the White House. Again, it's the Medal of Honor ceremony. It looks like President Trump is going to be walking in any second now. While we wait for him to do just that, let's get to our next guest, David in Rhode Island. David, welcome to the show. I hear you're a member of our Army, so thank you for your service.
Thank you, Brianna. I just wanted to talk about the coping that I'm seeing just constantly all over social media. And I mean, even Tom just now, just trust the plan trusters, and, you know, Trump's doing 5D chess and this and that. Weren't we just over a year ago saying we want to be out of the Middle East? Didn't we vote for Trump to end these wars? I don't care if it lasts 12 days, 14 days, or 7 years, or 20 years. I don't want to be in this anymore. That's why I voted for Trump, and he sold us out. So, I mean, the level of coping, but just trust the plan, and, oh, well, now this is actually a good one. This is a good war. We were saying that in Iraq. Oh, look at these Iraqis. They're celebrating in the streets. Like, this is going to be great. It never works out the way people think. It always goes south. And Trump sold us out. I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, people need to wake up to it. The peace presidency just got us into the war and handed over the Middle East to Israel on a silver platter. I mean, they have full control now. They don't need us anymore. And the problem is that they now have a foothold in our Congress, in our political power. So unlike China or Russia or any of these other superpowers, they don't have really a foothold. Yeah, there's lobbyists. Yeah, there's probably some corruption and backdoor deals on the side, but they don't have a foothold like Israel does. And now we just made them a complete superpower with Iran out of the way. They can do whatever they want, and we have no leverage at all to stop them to go into Libya, to take more land over here, to completely take Gaza. To completely, go into Syria and start stuff in Jordan, maybe take a little bit of Saudi Arabia. We have no leverage over them anymore. We just handed it over to them. And I'm so sick of putting, it could be anybody, could be any country. I'm so sick of putting other countries ahead of our own. We should be trying to be a superpower above all these people. No competition. There should be no competition between other countries and us. And
David, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? Yeah, I just want to ask you, how old are you?
I'm 37.
See, David, I think this is the tone. This is the difference too that we hear, and I hear it often because I like to hear everyone weigh in, and I'm obviously in my 30s as well. And it's a different tone. Those in their 20s and 30s want this to end because we've grown up around this. We've seen this firsthand, and we've had enough of the Middle Eastern conflicts that the United States has found themselves in the center of. And so I think that's the tone. And when I talk to those 40 and up, they seem to have a little bit more faith in the president and a little bit more trust. You know, my dad actually tells me all the time that he watches the show. He tells me all the time, David, that I'm a little too black pill for him when it comes to what I think about President Trump and all of this. My father was more optimistic when he saw what unraveling in Iran, and I was very much against it. And so, I did say I'm trying to, you know, watch to see what the president does. I want to give him that grace because he has been good to us in the past. But I don't like what I'm seeing so far. And it seems to be like this generational thing. Like, you and I both get it, I feel like, because we're in our 30s, and obviously those in their 20s are just done with the whole Middle East. And that's why I think Israel has the biggest issue on the horizon for them specifically, because they always find themselves in the center of this. And that's why when we look at the polls, Rasmussen polls, a lot of Americans don't trust Israel. A lot of Americans are speaking out on the issues. I think it's more of a, and it's not to be a disrespect, but I think it's perspective. I think those in their 20s and 30s who have seen what happened, I remember exactly what happened in 9/11. I remember smelling the air. I was a New Yorker. I was in New York. I remember smelling the air, the burning smell. I'll never forget that smell. And for me, I just want this all to end. And it's been something that's been ongoing for my entire life. So I think that's where our perspective is, David. And I'll let you react to that.
Yeah, I see the same thing with my mother and family members that are in that other generation. And again, it's just the trust, playing the trusters. Trump knows best. It's fine. It's fine. It'll work itself out. And, you know, the generation now is in a different mindset of trying to decouple from the Middle East. And, you know, the last thing I'm going to say here, this should be a wake up call for everybody's reality that maybe our elections don't really matter, because Trump just won on a complete mandate to mass deportations, close the border, and no new wars. And we didn't get any of it because it's just whoever pays the most. So it's like, you know, do our elections even mean anything? I want election reform as well. I mean, where's anything on that? None of it. It's just whoever has the highest ticket, the biggest checkbook, they get whatever they want. And they'll throw everybody under the bus. And then in 26 and in 28, they'll come back and go, you know, we tried, but we really just need your vote one more time. Every time. Thank you, Brianna.
No, thank you, David. We appreciate you calling in. And again, I love everyone's insight on this issue. I just think it's great to hear from different perspectives. That's where I truly lie on the issue. And I'm keeping my eye right now to see when President Trump begins to speak. So Bill's with us now. Bill, just so you know, heads up, Bill, he's the founder of the Loomer fan club. Bill wants to talk and react, but once President Trump begins to speak, Bill, I'm gonna have to cut you off. So I'll let you have the floor right now.
Excellent. Thank you, Brianna. Am I coming through loud and clear?
I could hear you, my friend. Welcome.
Thank you so much. You know, couple things. I was going to call and give Blue Falcon, your caller, some props. I could feel the pain in his voice. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of Rambo, the movie First Blood. And Rambo was part of his team, Covey team. And Falcon was one of his code names in it. I could just kind of feel the pain that you could see in that movie, Rambo. It reminded me of that. But then you had the other caller, I think it was Tom, who gave us the full meaning, which... change that call. But here's a good angle, Brianna. Here's what's been kind of making me wonder. What they're doing is they're censoring. I'm big on censorship. They're censoring all the video coming out of Israel. There's some video that's getting out. And what it looks like to me, and this is common sense. So we saw last time when we hit Iran that they fired back at Israel, and they get a lot of the shots through. A lot of them get caught by the dome. But a lot do get through, and it actually bombs the people. And for what I'm seeing kind of on the periphery, which you're not seeing in the media and they're not talking about it, and it's censored. Why are they censoring that? Looks to me like Israel's getting the hell bombed out of it right now. And people are dying. And what they're finding out, which I think the common sense that I knew that Iran, I think, was holding back. They were shooting like the little missiles. They always, you know, just common sense, they have bigger stuff. I even think they have a nuke already. It's just common sense. You go buy one from Russia. Not a big deal. It's in a suitcase. So anyway, they're kind of setting the Israel people up for slaughter because they know that when they go bomb Iran, Israel's going to get bombed back, right? And they know, just my, even my common sense, maybe they don't know, that they're going to be using the bigger stuff. And they have a lot of it. They have a lot of numbers. And those missiles they use to, you know, defend with the dome are very expensive. Word is they can't make them quickly. And from what I'm seeing on the outside, it looks like the Israelis were kind of set up like sitting ducks because everybody knew they're going to get bombed back. And the bigger bombs that they have can go deeper into the ground. And it looks like, from what I'm seeing, that some of the shelters are even getting bombed. So the people are going into these shelters that are not sufficient for what they're going to get hit with. Anyway, yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Bill, it's always an honor to have you on the program, and we love to hear from you. And yeah, I mean, I feel for these people. You know, there's a lot of people who do not like the Israeli government who actually live in Israel. And so everyone's got their particular takes on this. I remember, and you know, this was Charlie Kirk who was speaking so openly about the issue in regards to Israel, about how, you know, they were really upset with Benjamin Netanyahu before October 7th. And then October 7th shifted the narrative away in the mainstream media for them. And he wanted to highlight the fact that there were people on the ground there that were not happy. And so I just, my heart goes out to everyone, all the innocent people who find themselves in harm's way. Yes, there are evil regimes all across the world. And, you know, we do pray for them. You know, there's mixed reports too about how many Iranians were killed by the regime. And I think President Trump, I think it was the State of the Union, threw out a number like 30,000, which was an insane number that I actually haven't heard of. I did hear it was a couple of hundred. But it's so hard. I was talking to Alex about this too. I was on Alex Jones's Saturday show with him. And we were talking about, in Iran, there was the report about the school that was bombed. They reported over 36 children murdered in that. And, you know, Alex is like, what do you think? And I don't know what to think. You know, I try to sift through the information and try to be as fair and balanced as I can. But I know both sides are in an information war and both sides are going to put out information that's factually and true. And so, I mean, I hate to, like, I don't want to see it because it'll bring me to tears, but I can't believe a story like that until I physically see the damage and I see the loss of life. And then I also would have to see to make sure that wasn't a missile that was sent by their own. I mean, Israel started reporting today too. It's worth noting. Israel is claiming, this is IDF, that Iran is killing their own people to make it seem like this is Israel that's bombing their people. And so we're in like this information war where you have to sift through to see what's true, what's not. It's really hard to tell. I mean, that's the reason why before giving an opinion, I usually wait and bite my tongue before I say anything out publicly because I just don't know what to say and how to weigh in on these issues. You know, my good friend Jesse Kelly was saying, everyone, you guys can hold up and wait. You don't have to have an opinion immediately. And I always try to do that. So there's that. It looks like President Trump might be walking into the room in just a moment. Again, it looks like everyone's turning, so I can't really tell. But when he does begin to speak, we will halt and we will listen to the president. We're expected to hear from him on Iran. Let's turn to President Trump is now walking in the room. So let's hold off on the callers for right now because we're waiting to hear him speak. Again, this is the big ceremony for the Medal of Honor. And we're expected to hear President Trump weigh in on Iran and give the American people an update. We haven't yet heard from him in quite some time. So let's listen in.
Ceremony. Almighty God, your steady hand has guided this republic for nearly 250 years. From its birth in the wilderness to this very hour, we come to you now with grateful hearts. We assemble here today to honor men who, when the test came, were steadfast and unmovable. We thank you for the unyielding conviction of Master Sergeant Roderick Edmonds, who looked evil in the eyes and did not flinch. And we thank you for the battlefield grit of Command Sergeant Major Terry Richardson, courage that saved lives in Vietnam and courage that stands before us today. And Lord, we thank you for Staff Sergeant Michael Aulis, who in a final selfless act made his own body a shield for a friend. Bless the family and friends of these great men of honor, O Lord, and forbid that we leave this place as mere admirers of their heroic deeds. Plant in our hearts a measure of their courage that we might prove worthy of the freedom for which they and generations before them defended. Lord, now let the light of liberty continue to shine on our great nation. We pray in the strong name of the one who guides us. This will defend. Amen.
Thank you very much, Chaplain Green. Wonderful job. Appreciate it. And thank everybody for being here, and please feel free to sit. So before we begin this important ceremony, and there's no ceremony that can be much more important than this, let me provide a brief update on Operation Epic Fury. Today, the United States military continues to carry out large-scale combat operations in Iran to eliminate the grave threats posed to America by this terrible terrorist regime. Following our obliteration of Iran's nuclear program in Operation Midnight Hammer a short while ago, we warned Iran not to make any attempt to rebuild at a different location because they were unable to use the ones that we so powerfully blew up. But they ignored those warnings and refused to cease their pursuit of nuclear weapons. In addition, the regime's conventional ballistic missile program was growing rapidly and dramatically, and this posed a very clear, colossal threat to America and our forces stationed overseas. The regime already had missiles capable of hitting Europe and our bases both local and overseas, and would soon have had missiles capable of reaching our beautiful America. The purpose of this fast-growing missile program was to shield their nuclear weapon development and make it extraordinarily difficult for anyone to stop them from making these highly forbidden by us nuclear weapons. We were the ones that were complaining. We were the ones that wanted it stopped. But everybody was behind us. They just didn't have the courage to say so. An Iranian regime armed with long-range missiles and nuclear weapons would be an intolerable threat to the Middle East, but also to the American people. Our country itself would be under threat, and it was very nearly under threat. I was very proud to have knocked out the Iran nuclear deal by President Barack Hussein Obama. That was a horrible, horrible, dangerous document. They would have had nuclear weapons 3 years ago, and they would have used them. But I'll not let that happen. For almost 47 years, this regime has been attacking the United States and killing Americans. Every time you see someone with missing arms and legs or a face that's been absolutely shattered violently, it was almost certainly caused by an Iran roadside bomb. They were put there by General Soleimani, who was the father of the roadside bomb. Very proudly, he thought, but I terminated him in my first term. This was our last best chance to strike what we're doing right now and eliminate the intolerable threats posed by this sick and sinister regime. And they are indeed sick and sinister. Our objectives are clear. First, we're destroying Iran's missile capabilities, and you see that happening on an hourly basis, and their capacity to produce brand new ones, and pretty good ones they make. Second, we're annihilating their navy. We've knocked out already 10 ships there at the bottom of the sea. Third, we're ensuring that the world's number one sponsor of terror can never obtain a nuclear weapon, never going to have a nuclear weapon. I said that from the beginning. They're never going to have a nuclear weapon. They were on the road to getting one legitimately through a deal that was signed foolishly by our country. And finally, we're ensuring that the Iranian regime cannot continue to arm, fund, and direct terrorist armies outside of their borders. And we thought we had a deal, but then they backed out. And they came back, and we thought we had a deal, and they backed out. I said, you can't deal with these people. You got to do it the right way. Today, we grieve for the four heroic American service members who have been killed in action and send our love and support to their families. In their memory, we continue this mission with ferocious, unyielding resolve to crush the threat this terrorist regime poses to the American people. And a threat indeed it is. We have the strongest and most powerful by far military in the world, and we will easily prevail. We're already substantially ahead of our time projections, but whatever the time is, it's okay. Whatever it takes, we will always, and we have from right from the beginning, we projected 4 to 5 weeks, but we have capability to go far longer than that. We'll do it. Whatever somebody said today, they said, oh, well, if the president wants to do it really quickly, after that, he'll get bored. I don't get bored. There's nothing boring about this. Do you agree with that, Pete? I don't think there's anything, Mr. General. I think there's nothing boring about it. Somebody actually said from the media, I think he'll get bored after about a week or two. No, we don't get bored. I never get bored. If I got bored, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I guarantee you that. To go through what I had to go through. We also projected 4 weeks to terminate the military leadership. And as you know, that was done in about an hour. So we're ahead of schedule there by a lot. But please join me in thanking every American service member who bravely is standing in harm's way. They really are incredible. And I just want to thank you. We have a lot of them right here. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We have a lot of great service members here with us, too, in this beautiful building. Isn't it beautiful? We're adding on to the building a little bit. We're improving the building. See that nice drape? When that comes down right now, you see a very, very deep hole. But in about a year and a half from now, you're going to see a very, very beautiful building. And there's your entrance to it right there. In fact, it looks so nice, I don't think I'll even, I think I'll save money on the doors because it can't get more beautiful than that. I picked those drapes in my first term. I always like gold, but I think we can save a lot of money. I just saved curtains. But, and it'll be spectacular. It'll be the most beautiful ballroom. I believe it's because I built many a ballroom. I believe it's going to be the most beautiful ballroom anywhere in the world. And when you hear all that hammering out there, you know why the First Lady is not thrilled exactly. She said, will the pile drivers ever stop? You know, they go from 6 in the morning till 11:30 in the evening. Can you imagine? Here? You know what? To me, that's a beautiful sound. She doesn't like it. I love it. You know what? To me, other than here, because we're donating it, not a penny to the taxpayer. It'll be under budget, ahead of schedule. It'll be $400 million or less. Most people say $400 million or more. No, it'll be less. But when I hear that sound, that beautiful sound behind me, it means money, so I like it. But my wife isn't thrilled. She said, this is getting crazy. I said, don't worry about it. We'll be all finished up in a few months. But now for the reason that we're gathered this morning to recognize the unsurpassed courage of three really incredible American heroes, one living and two no longer with us.
So all right, guys, together, we're going to let President Trump continue to speak, but we have a hard out that we're up against. The Alex Jones Show is next. Don't go anywhere. We'll continue to follow.
We're engaged in world-changing information here, and now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate, so it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at theolivestonestore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. Get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I stood out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.